gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. For one.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you little bastards? I'm Heavy Metal.
And I'm Matty Studios.
And I'm the Ferret.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta, motherfuckers.
Yeah, so I know we were tweeting, everyone probably saw it, like, hey man, where's Marcel and MTG Brainstorm? But you know what, guys? They're too chicken, man.
They kicked their asses once, and they didn't show up.
It was all talk, man. They all said they were going to come back and kick our ass, but nobody showed, man. There's nobody outside. There's no bullet holes in the doors.
I found the note outside that said we'll be there next week. But
That's kind of scary.
I don't know if that was in their handwriting or not. Maybe it's a setup.
I don't know. Kevin, Matty, was me posting pictures of snitching the knife from the dishwasher a bad idea then?
Well, I think you really did scare them. Because last time, like, they knew the quantity was me and Kevin, but this time, you're an unknown quantity.
You know, there's a little wily fucking ferret running around.
He knows he can take everyone. This is true. Actually, we make sure every ferret in the cave has rabies. Isn't that true?
How we do
things. That's how we roll. So, we got a lot to talk about, of course. We got Dragons of Maze. We got the new beta client we'll talk about. We got some cool stuff, but apparently there was some Twitter drama affair that you wanted to get your rant on.
Okay.
Okay.
This is quite interesting. Elaine Chase today tweeted, "Don't be the person your store turns away from the Dragon Maze pre-release this weekend. Call ahead and pre-register. Know before you go, MTG."
And really? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I don't understand.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the store, and it's very typical. Like, I tried to go – I did go to the Return of Ravnica pre-release, and there was 120 people at midnight, and I just walked away because I'm like, that's fucking insane. I'm not waiting outside.
Okay, like, well, here's the thing, though. Imagine that you're the target audience for Magic the Gathering. You're under 13, and you're trying to go to this pre-release.
Yeah.
Now, most kids under 13 – they'll know about things way in advance, but they're not going to sit there and try to make schedules or, you know, try to pre-register for things such as that. They're just going to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's this weekend. Let's go.
Okay.
And then, number two, to be saying this on Twitter. So, remember, this is supposed to – your target audience is under 13, right? And you're putting this on Twitter, which technically
–
On a school day, but no, beyond that, what I was trying to say is I understand that kids under 13 do use Twitter, but there is also that whole – if they're under 13, they're not supposed to be on Twitter due to the Child Online Privacy Protection Act of 1998.
What? Okay, hold on. Whoa, back it up. Are you insane? Every fucking kid I know is on Twitter. What are you talking about? You're telling me it's illegal for a kid to be on Twitter if they're under 13?
Hey, Matty, here's the wiki.
That's just fucking.
I'm linking you right now. Oh wait, here, I'll put it so Kevin can look at it too.
I'm not gonna be reading that shit yet. What are you on drugs, man? This is like 3,000 words long.
I'm not even getting into the whole thing. I'm just basically the bottom line is that there are laws that are saying that they're not supposed to. That's why Twitter has the disclaimer going. No, you're not supposed that. We don't want kids under 13 using it.
I guess.
Okay. But beyond that, really, you're going to be trying to take and turn or tell people to pre-register for a tournament that's supposed to be able to take and then, you know, you want to grow your communities that they turned around and they made it so that it's at the local stores so that you can grow your community and you're going to fucking limit it?
Kevin, he's just angry because most of the stores have no animal rules, right?
No. Not even that.
What do you mean no ferrets are allowed in?
And then she had another tweet after that later of trying to compare it to, like, well, don't you take and make reservations for your nice holiday meals?
Yeah.
So now we're going to fucking compare Magic the Gathering pre-release to, like, a Valentine's meal.
Yeah. I have my Valentine's dinner with 110 sweaty neck beers at midnight. That's what I do. I don't know about you guys.
Here's my counter argument to this. You can go, it's not going to be every fucking restaurant and say a 50 mile radius or 100 mile radius is going to turn around and tell you, oh no, whoops, sorry, we're full to capacity. But even if they are to capacity, you could usually wait an hour or two and still get a fucking seat. No, at a pre-release? No, sorry, done.
My
thought is this, with the pre-release thing though, it's kind of like, so what you're saying is those of us that are on Twitter and that follow you, so we probably are somewhat in the Magic community and already kind of know what we're doing when it comes to pre-releases and shit like that. We should call and pre-register so that kids that are just trying to get started in this fucking game don't get a spot in the pre-release.
Exactly, Kevin. That is exactly what I'm fucking getting at. Is this those fucking kids? They're not going to think about this shit. That's like trying to tell your 12-year-old, oh, hey, by the way, could you take and get reservations for me and mom for Valentine's Day or for our anniversary? You're not going to fucking do that. They're not going to do that. They're not going to remember to do that.
Yep. I don't know, man. Well, I guess.
What's funny, too, is like we were just talking about this the other night. I was like, oh, shit, Daniel, me and you might not be able to play in the fucking pre-release because I totally fucking forgot that it was this weekend. I was like, oh, shit. And then luckily I realized fucking I put my name on the fucking paper like months ago, like just to not think about it. I was like, oh, yeah, fuck, I'll put my name on here. So I was like the fifth one signed up for it. But I don't know if Daniel – I don't think Daniel's on there, so we might not even be able to fucking play the pre-release because we didn't pre-register.
Well, here's the thing about all this too. Is
see, what we do when that situation arises, we just get fucking hammered and play Booze Cube.
Yeah, well, that sounds like – I want to go to that party.
Yeah, damn right.
Yeah, you know the funny thing is this Sunday is my daughter's communion, right? So I'm like, fuck, man. Scotty Mac's like, hey, man, Saturday morning I'm going to be playing Dragon pre-release there at Harry T with Nina. And I'm like
– gunslinging, huh?
I'm like, I'm in. I want to go. But I'm like, I got a list. I got a honey-do list of shit I got to get ready for communion the next day. I'm like, God damn it. I'm going to try. I'm trying, Scotty. I'm trying.
All right. To back things up just slightly, though, what my first response to her was is the fact that you even needed to tweet this was exactly why we need the regional pre-releases back.
Wait, okay. What's the difference between a regional pre-release and what they're doing now?
Okay,
what's the difference?
What the regional one was is, you know, the guys that run like the GPs and the pro tours and all that, the big tournament organizers. Well, they would run regional a big pre-release in, like, I'm not sure if it's each state or I forget exactly how regionals worked, but the point of the matter is, it was just a big ass pre-release.
I love it. We have no facts, but
I went
a few of them.
All right, topic closed, Ferret. I'm closing that topic off. That one's dead.
All I was getting at was that we didn't have the problem of people getting turned away when we still had those.
True. I agree. Like, if there was a big event going on the day of the pre-release, the stores might not be so crowded. But like they've said many times, they're trying to do this to get the stores doing well, right? Because I guess they're paying them back, whatever. A good, healthy local gaming store is good. We saw Robot Larges, man. I wish he lived here. I would fucking go to his store every
day.
Good store.
If one of your kids started crying because they couldn't get in a pre-release and they just wanted to start, just got into the game, they would possibly not want to play anymore.
Because
they couldn't play with their friends who are in the game, who are in the tournament.
Right.
I mean, the thing is, midnight pre-releases, I don't know. But kids, maybe those are for crazy people.
I'm not even talking midnight pre-release, man. I'm
no,
talking
but the
about
next day, the next day. Yeah, the next day, it's usually okay. If you go in, like, in the afternoon, it's not too bad.
You'd be surprised how many areas that literally – there are some areas that there will be a 500-mile radius that you cannot get into any pre-release period because they're all packed both days.
Wow.
So funny.
Fuck. Well, I don't know, man. Apparently, from what I'm hearing, this could be wrong, but a lot of the stores, even Joe Nidri, he was saying, he's like, not a lot of people are very excited for Dragon's Maze. They're saying the set sucks and it's not going to be fun to draft. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about because it looks fun as hell to me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Those are fun.
No, no, but like Dragon Maze, Dragon Maze specifically. I mean, it looks really fun to me, so I'm excited.
I haven't looked at Dragon Maze from a limited perspective.
Yeah, that's true.
Constructed, I think we only got like 4 or 5 cards that even make me kind of go, eh. And we actually talked about those pretty early on the spoiler season, and the rest of the season, you're just kind of like, huh?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm actually more interested to draft Dragon Maze, Gatecrash, Return to Ravnica, rather than like triple Dragon Maze. Although I like the new cards, so who knows. Although what's funny, the MTGO beta just got updated today, because it's Wednesday.
Both clients got updated, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But okay, so to let the audience know, so everyone knows, like, I try to support the beta as much as I can, but I like Travis and like a couple other people out there, I'm like, when it comes to it and I just want to play and I want to play fast and I don't want to think, I go back to V3 because I'm used to it and I know it and I don't, it's fast. It's just fucking fast. It's not a lot of clicking. I get the games in. I'm good. But I've made the commitment. I'm going to try from this day forward. I'm just going to use the new client because let me finish. If I don't get used to this new client now, then when they shut V3 off, then I'm going to be screaming. Okay. So I'm trying.
Here's the counter to this.
Okay.
The trade system is so bad. Yeah, I actually tried ending up getting into it and saying, okay, they did trade updates and not necessarily big ones compared to the day one of release, and tried using it to move large object or large quantities of cards swiftly, since that's the one good thing for the beta. Let's just say that if I had to do that for work, because keep in mind, for those who don't know, I work for one of the large bot chains. If I had to do that shit 9 hours a day on the beta client, I would literally go back to working fast food rather than working for the bot. Sir, I'm not even kidding. It's that the trading system is that bad.
To echo Ferret's complaints, one of the first things I did with the brand new client is I tried to do a trade. And I sat there, and I literally sat there for about 10 minutes. It was, like, really confusing to get the trade started, but then I'm like, okay, I guess we do this, and it's got pictures of the card instead of text. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, the little window is like, confirm your trade. I'm like, where the fuck's the confirm button? Where the hell did they put it? And I'm looking around, and I couldn't find it. For 10 minutes, the trade's about to expire.
It says submit on the bottom right-hand corner. Yeah.
Yeah. So the stupid pop-up messages, which Ryan has assured me they're going to deal with and fix, but that was hiding the damn confirm button or submit button, whatever the fuck it is. Like,
okay.
Oh, man.
That, another problem that you have with the trades is, like, when you take and pull enough cards, let's just say every typical bot has 4 of each card tradable, right? So let's say you grab 4 of that card and they have 0 quantity left in their inventory, and you have the 4 in the trade window, it still shows that damn card up in their inventory. So it's hard to actually try to see what you have and have not grabbed, or at least what's still there.
I guess, I mean, it's just nuts, man. Yeah. I think there's like some massive problems with like the entire cube, or not the cube, the trading screens, I think, are like, I mean, the whole thing that they have to do, which is, I don't know, understand why they don't do this, but they need to separate buying and selling, and 2 columns or the button or a toggle switch or tabs. Like, I'm looking to buy cards, I'm looking to sell cards. And if
God, that would be such a godsend.
It would be so nice to just be like, hey, man, there it is. So now when I type in Ralzeric, I don't see selling Ralzeric for, you know, or right, buying Ralzeric for 4 tickets. And I'm like, yeah, and I click on it.
You
and
know
then
what,
the
Maddie?
Guy's like, Ralzeric's 20 tickets.
Maddie, you seriously just figured out how Wizards could literally improve the marketplace without actually acknowledging the secondary market.
Yeah, well, this
just,
is a
just literally go, one tab is for people selling, one tab is for people buying. Granted, not everybody's going to listen to it, but if they have, you know, one says buying.
No. I mean, how easy – if you don't, that's retarded. Like, I just think that's crazy. Like, if you're that stupid, a guy posting an ad and you don't see it says buy or sell, you could color code them. I mean, I'm sure people would get used to it, you know, pretty quickly that, hey, this is what it is. You know, like, I don't know. Like,
I'm not even, Maddie, I'm not even saying that people would be being stupid. I'm just saying you'd see smart asses trying to say, oh, selling Rurik in the buy section.
Right? Yeah, well, I mean, obviously people – well, but then when I click on your thing and I see it's not for sale, you know, you're going to get shit on pretty quick. Good people who run bots like you guys, you'll separate from all the loser bots pretty quick if guys are pulling that kind of lame shit. But to keep on with the beta. So another thing that, you know, I'm a huge, I love foils in real life. Foil Fiend, just like Kevias, think they're amazing. I can't stand foils on MTGO. I think they're the worst things in the world. They look like shit. They look garbage. Hey. Just complete shit. Sorry, man.
I like my foils on the Carlands. Shut up.
No, man, it's horrible. It's horrible. Online foils are garbage. But anyways, they just released, you probably saw a couple of tweets and Spain's article. They released a brand new look to the foils, and they've toned it down like massive. So now it doesn't look like this big shiny sticker that they just threw on top that looks like shit. It actually looks subtle and it looks decent. So I mean, I know this is not high on everyone's list, but it sure looked good to me. So I'm pretty happy with that. The client runs smoother. It looks good. I mean, there were some problems where it was crashing. Upon release today, it was breaking.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear Z just got into the proxy guy? So,
yeah.
You know, just got into the MTGO beta today. He's like, yeah, this is kind of cool. I was going to trade, but then I went to resize the screen and it crashed.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I...
Way to go. That's a wonderful first experience with the beta.
I know. Like, what's hilarious is, like, Worth and Ryan, they should really, like, acknowledge me and Ferret and Kevy especially, because all we do all day long, when people talk to us, we're like, hey, man, you want online? Here, you want some cards? We are the ambassador of MTGO. Like, all we do is try to make sure, like, people have a good experience. And it's like, guys... We're pushing people to this thing, and then you guys make this piece of shit. It's like, hey,
they show up and then you make us look like liars.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's like if we were running a whorehouse and we hype these guys up, we're like, man, they're gonna see the hottest chicks in the world, and then they get inside and the chick has no legs. Or you know, you open it, you'd open up the legs and you're like, ah, what is that? Get out of here. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, like, no, it's like you have fucking, you give them, you know, those little cards you get in Vegas, like that everybody's handing out with like one hot model on the front of it. But then when you show up to the whorehouse, not only does she look like shit, but then she has a seizure when you touch her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it smells worse than last night's dinner. Yeah, not good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just hoping that, like even Michael Jacobs said today, I think everyone's getting a little tired of the old, you know, we're gonna fight for V3. The truth is, like he said, they put too much time and money into it. The truth is it's coming to an end very soon. From what I've been hearing, if you read the articles.
Well, yeah,
end of June, July.
The spotlight thing or whatever, wide beta spotlight or whatever, and it's like they're talking, yeah, there's, you know, Ryan Spain outlined this, you know, three-step program basically, which is this and this, you know, and then basically ending in, you know, release of the client and shutting the door on the current client, and we're like on the home stretch of leg two, and I'm like, how the fuck is that possible when you still have all these fucking garbage problems going on? You know, like you guys were saying, like, oh hey, let's fucking premiere this thing and get everybody hyped on it, and they're talking about how it's really hard to get people to go get on, you know, to try the new thing and get onto the new one. No, it's not. You know, people get on it and try it, and then they're like, oh wait, this is garbage. It just crashed on me. Or fucking, you guys are trying to, like, you know, spotlight this thing right now and get everybody hyped on it, and then, you know, proxy guy, like, I went to resize my screen and the shit crashed. Like, that's why people aren't wanting to fucking play with it. It's not because it's hard to get them to try it. It's because you guys are premature releasing something.
Exactly.
Not fucking done. Even if it's not fucking finished. I mean, Jesus Christ, I just had to fucking yell at half the guys in my fucking band recently because they're wanting to fucking release shit, like, that we've been working on just on the internet because the album's not done yet. But they're like, yeah, we should release some of these songs. I'm like, hey, no. Like, we're not going to put them out on the internet for people to fucking listen to because they sound like garbage.
Yeah, I 100%
agree.
It's
not done. And, like, you know, we just went through all that shit. And it's the same thing with fucking Moto. It's like, make your fucking product the best it possibly can be. Of course, there's always going to be bugs and shit like that, but make your fucking product the best it can possibly be before you try to fucking force it down everybody's throats, because then all you're going to do is piss people off.
Yeah, like, well,
client, the way that they've got the beta now, if they're just all sweet, it's fucking done, it's still got some issues, but it's fucking done, and now we're going to fucking, you know, we're going to shut the door on the fucking old client, and I don't have a choice but to use a fucked buggy new client, I'm going to start playing paper until they get that shit fixed. And I'll probably, like, I won't be on Moto, and I won't be fucking bringing them money in, which sucks because I love playing on Moto. I love being able to fucking play with people, you know, all the good things we've said about Moto. But it's like, you know what? If I've got to look at the shitty one or the shit looking one and fucking play it and it plays nice and I can just fucking, you know, use the fucking old client, that's cool. But if they're going to get to the point where they're not finished with the new one, but they're going to stop the old one and say, cool, this is done, then I'm just not going to play.
Let me interrupt real quick, because the comment that scared me the most of anything that Ryan and Worth have said today is that you guys wait till you see when we shut down V3 how fast we'll improve the new client. And that statement there, what it basically scares living shit in me, because I like, you know, build apps, I build programs. We have a clear defined alpha, beta testing process that we do. And to say I'm going to release a piece of shit that's not finished, oh, and wait till it's live, guys, then I'm going to put all the improvements into it. Hold on. Okay. That sounds like SimCity to me. You know, it sounds like, hey, we're going to put this out and it's not ready. So don't do that. Let me do one last point, Ferret, is the number one thing they need to do is you can't force people to like your thing. Well, instead of like shutting off the old client and forcing people to use the new one, all I've said, and I think this is the smartest idea, if I was running it, I would say, guys, Dragon Maze Pay Release is a week early on the new client, and it's half price. That's all. If you did
– No, that's what they're doing. The whole point is it's a day early on the fucking – on the beta. That's what the whole spotlight thing is. They're doing the dragons to give you incentive rather than doing like what you said, a week early. A day early.
Kevy, they're literally shutting down the V3 client, though, which means what they don't understand at this point, that I'm just going to say anywhere between 50 to 75% of all bots, and honestly, I would probably go even high as 90, are going to be shut down during that period in time. Because
they said you can still play it if you prefer the old client, you can still play it on the old client, but the pre-release.
They're shutting V3 down. Yeah. It's not live. They're taking it offline for 2 days.
I'm getting three paid days off of work because of this shit, buddy.
When did they announce that? Because the article that I just read about this fucking beta spotlight, which was what, like a day or two ago, said exactly that. If you prefer the old client, you can play it. Like, it, in those words, you know, those that prefer to play it on the old client can play it on the old client, but it won't be until Friday or whatever it was, rather than Thursday, where you can jump on the fucking
beta. Yes, Kevy.
Want me to read it? So basically, it says here.
Please.
It says, where the fuck did it go? I'm pathetic. Okay, talk. While I look. Go.
What I was going to say is this, Kevy. What they're trying to say is that, yes, you can still do pre-releases, but it'll just be 2 days later. They're not saying you could play during that two-day time. That client is going to be shut down for those 2 days.
Uh-huh. I see.
That's your girlfriend saying, yeah, honey, well, if you don't want to use a condom, then you got to wait until after the weekend.
I'll just go fuck somebody else, sweetheart, later.
Pretty much. You know, I'll go fucking play, Angry Birds or some shit, but, you know, fuck.
Okay, so right here is the fucking article I was looking at, and this is on fucking, what's it called?
Daily MTG.
Wizards.com.
Daily MTG.
Is that what it is? Daily MTG? Yeah. Daily MTG, whatever. The fucking Magic Online White Beta Spotlight. And it says fucking – I don't ever fucking go to this fucking site. Let's see.
Dude, here's what I'm thinking, though. So while you find that
we know
quote,
players can be hesitant to try something new, so to encourage participation, we will be starting the Dragon's Maze pre-release events early. Rather than starting at 10 a.m. on Friday, like the Gate Crash pre-release, the Dragon's Maze pre-release will start at 10 a.m. on Thursday, May 9th, and will run until 10 a.m. Monday, May 13th, providing an additional day of Dragon's Maze excitement. The current version of Magic Online will be available starting at 10 a.m. on Friday, for those who still prefer it. So the day, so what you're saying is the night before, or the day before the 9th, Thursday, they're going to shut it down, and then it's going to come back on the 10th?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just you're not going to – or the Dragon's Maze pre-release isn't going
to
be available.
No, they're shutting the client down. Because I've had – just to give you a little bit of insight from the business side. Okay. I've literally been told that we're not going to be open during those days because
so what's this
the
one day?
Theory client's going to be down.
Well, this hold on. This scares the shit out of me because if – if what you're saying is true, you're saying that on the day the V3 client is not live, that there'll be no trading happening?
Well, there might be person-to-person trading, but a lot of the bots, they're not going to be up.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, so for all of you people that want to see a botless world, unless
a botless world.
Yeah. unless a vendor has a viable V4 bot made, which – trust me, there's enough problems with the V4 client that unless they're hooked into the DLL, it's not going to be a fast bot whatsoever or reliable.
Right.
All right. Well,
well
you're
still talking for like a day or two, basically. Like, don't plan on trading cards that day.
Yeah, get all your trading done. I mean, you know, we're not trying to sound like the world's falling and we're not chicken littling, but it's one of those things that we love the freaking client so much. Like, we love the game and we're like, oh, like, why do you do it that way? You know, it's like, you know, you stick your fingers up my ass dry. You don't, like, just lick them first, you know? Like,
you know, Matty, I'll say what you
just
all in one
just
question.
Just lick them first.
No, all but, right. Like, if they were just a little smoother, you know, like, they could do things in a nicer, more palatable way, and the people that play this system, like, we're almost like the enemy sometimes, where it's like, no, you will do this now. Like, why aren't you listening to us, you know? And we're like, well, hold on, like, it's like the whole thing with Windows, and I laughed that Windows wanted to get rid of the start button, and then all the people that forced that down everyone's throat, people are like, well, fuck it then. I don't want Windows 8. It's a piece of shit. Now they're having to backtrack.
I'm stuck with fucking Windows 8 because it was on the fucking laptop when I bought it, and I haven't gone as far as to go get fucking Vista or 7, and so I'm just
don't
I'm
go Vista. Do not no, go Vista.
Don't. But Windows 7 isn't bad. But the whole joke is they're being forced to put the start button back when if you'd have just listened to the people,
your fucking customers.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I know Ryan and Worth are really trying, and I think they are listening, but I think they need to make sure that your agenda takes into account what people are telling you. And if the people are saying, hey, if, you know, don't, I understand that, you know, there's certain costs, which I would love to know more. Maybe one of the dev teams should come on Heavy Meta and talk to us. But, you know, what is the actual cost of keeping the V3 client running? Besides,
you know that we say
cards.
This all the like we constantly say that like one of these members of fucking WotC should come on this show, and you realize that the only way that's ever going to happen is if me, you, or Ferret gets a job at Wizards.
Okay. anyway, couple points. A, right. That they had said on literally on Twitter today that they're trying to make the client functional before they want to make it performant. You know.
Yeah, they
perform
got it.
Well.
Basically,
so they're not worried about all of that. But actually, here's what my question was to you, Maddie. Since you work in a field that deals with all this kind of stuff.
Sure.
If you have a client that wants a new product based on the existing product, would you ever even think for half a second of handing out a product that it does not have all the functionality of the old product?
Right.
Well, the first thing you do, okay, so if anyone knows, I hope they did this, but in any project you work on, it doesn't even matter if it's coding or not, but most coding projects, what you do is you would break down your current project and you would say, you know, here's everything it does, and you'd analyze it. Because not just because you have a current like version of an app, let's say, that you don't duplicate everything. The first thing you do is you say, hey, what worked and what didn't?
Because what are the issues that we need to fix?
Well, no,
you know,
but
or what directions do we want to go? What, like, you know, maybe not fix an old problem, but, you know, add a new idea or anything like that. Like, what things are we wanting to improve on?
Wait,
things worked fucking great.
Yeah, no, that's not even the first step is literally just itemizing the old version and saying, Did this work? Yes or no? Did this work? Yes or no? Once you have that list, all right. The shit that didn't work, you put in another pile and you don't even bother with that. You leave it to the side.
And apparently then, Wizards took that pile and
they
somebody
built.
Somebody picked up that file and thought and said, oh, I guess this is what the new one's supposed to be.
Right. Like it makes no sense. Like every coding project I've ever done. And if you're in coding and there's a few of the people that are, you understand, like, you know, whatever you code 16 months later, 12 months later, it's out of date. It's useless. It's like there really is no, oh yeah, just take the old code and add to it. No. I mean, you really can, you can duplicate functionality, but if there's new ways of coding and there's new things, you should really just abandon everything and start fresh. And every time
I understand
that.
Well, wait, but I was just saying the actual functionality. That was my question. I wasn't worried about how you get there. I'm just saying, are you going to remove those features which were used?
Well, if you didn't step one and you tracked, here's the top – you'd have percentages, right? So like if I was going to recode MTGO, I would pull some data and I would pull ranking on – What are the every functionality and what are the percentages of their used? And then I would poll the people who use the damn system. I'd say, give me a percentage of quality, 1 to 10. And I would, from that number, I'd have a priority list. And that priority list would be, these are the top features we need to code first. And these are the ones that are not. Now, I assume, based on Ryan and Worth's comments, that's kind of what they're doing. It's just, I think what they did is, instead of, you know, thinking up new ways of doing things. They were like, it's a lot easier. And I've seen this in coding. It's a lot easier to just code the same one again because this is what people are used to. And, you know, especially trading is a touchy subject. And they probably are like, you know what? We don't want to put the money into this. And they probably just left it, which I think is a huge mistake because you don't launch. It's like making a movie, you know, it's like going to the sequel of a movie and it's exactly the same as the first one. What the fuck? And it's just got a different token character in it. Like, you know, that's kind of like, I hope they move on, but I don't want to waste the whole show talking about the beta, but I think they're on the right track. I pray to God they don't shut V3 down and then expect to like work on it for another year, because that's going to be a really horrible year, you know, and that's not
all right.
The 20th year of Magic, right?
And then I'll comment on your other question of the reason or of how much that the V3 client takes of their programming. Is if you really think about it, it does take a fair amount in the fact that they have to get all the pictures, give them, you know, the appropriate file names and attachments and rules
fair,
engine.
Fair. No. In my – okay, if I was doing it, I can guarantee that's all automated. They dump every high-res JPEG into a folder. They run a frickin' Photoshop batch outlet, dump everything with an auto script namer. That's all done easy. That's not hard. Coding the rules engine is probably difficult, and I could easily see that's where 20 hours is devoted to. But I can't imagine every set 20 hours. Like, what the hell else is breaking? And if you are wasting more than 20 hours a set, then your client, if V3 is so shit that it's always breaking and the shit breaking, then what the fuck did you design? Like, I hope you haven't designed V4 that it needs hundreds of hours a week to maintain.
Well, and that's the thing
horrible.
Too, is like, if V3 is such a pile of shit, and then you got, you know, V4 is function, it doesn't even function as well as fucking V3, and it's prettied up a little bit. Like, it just seems like a fucking huge step backwards. Like, it's a piece of shit. Like, throwing glitter on a piece of shit, it's still a turd. Like, it's just a shiny turd.
It's sparkly now.
Yeah, like, it's still a turd. So, like, I don't know. You know, I think that it needed to be, and especially as long as they've been working on this shit.
Like, I know, that's what's insane, right? Like, I remember watching Brad Nelson on Channel Fireball, that's how long ago, and when he was saying, I think in 2010, he was like, this is the year for V4. Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
And that was already like it was being talked about for a year.
Well, fuck. And the thing
is
like,
because they were talking about
Silverlight. Look at this community of people. I know I've said this before, but fuck, dude. Like, if we were all a community of fucking ignorant fucking truck drivers or something, it'd be one thing. But like this community, I mean, you know, might be stereotypical, but this community is predominantly made up of motherfuckers that know how to use computers. You know, whether it be programmers, whether it be people that work in the gaming industry, shit like that. Like, I mean, you know, I'm fucking illiterate when it comes to the computer, but I still can, you know, function on it. And you got like, you've got a fucking fan base and a player base full of fucking people that, you know, like you, Matt, you know, you guys, you know how to do, you can code, you can write code and shit like that. You've got a whole fucking community full of people that can do that shit. Yet you're releasing and charging and, you know, charging money for a fucking product that is like fucking amateur hour.
Well,
like, it just blows me away.
I agree, but I don't know, man. Maybe they'll listen. Who knows? I think the Wizards of the Coast should definitely increase the budget for like high. They should have a team of like 20 programmers, pay some top notch quality guys and knock it out in 6 months. Stop fucking around. But anyways, let's not harp the whole show on it because we do have other cool shit. Because Dragon Maze is out, people. Well, not out, but
glitter on it.
Full spoilers out.
Yeah, the full spoilers out. So, what do you guys think so far of like looking at the whole spoiler? I think we kind of got all the goodies in the first 2 weeks. You know, yeah. And it's like, yeah, I know they fed us all. Yeah, that's true. I mean, there were some kind of surprises at the end, but. It's a very, like, looking at it for limited, and if you check out on Mana Deprived, I believe now Mana Deprived has a cool, Totally Lost, it's called. It's on the homepage. Pretty cool. I was actually watching them, so they're video reviews of the set reviews for Dragon Maze. Pretty neat for limited. And I was watching the first one. Man, I got to watch them all because I am not ready for limited at all. At all, man. There are some tricks in there and shit. It seems like just massive bomby format where you just wait to get six mana and you're dropping shit. But
get ape shit.
Yeah, who knows, man? I'm excited. I don't know what guild are you guys gonna go this time?
I'm still kind of lost on that one. I'm not sure. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, what did you go? You went Rakdos, and then what did you do?
Gruul.
And Gruul. Yeah, I went Azorius, and then I went Izzet, and then I went Boros. So I think this time, I might go Orzhov, see what happens. Try something different.
I was kind of thinking of that. I was kind of thinking doing Orzhov. Speaking of Orzhov, that fucking Debt to the Deathless card, the artwork on that is, like, fucking awesome.
Which one is that? Is that the...
two black, two white, and X. Each opponent loses two
times
X life. But, dude, the artwork on that card is so fucking sick. Yes. I love that shit. Some three-headed fucking ghost fucking skeleton thing with, like, two blood fountains next to it. It's just fucking awesome.
Yeah, there was high-res art of that on the daily, on the Mothership
deck. Oh, really?
You know what card's got to be the most fucked up art in the whole set? Is that giant fat... guy with the, yeah. What is it, Maw the Ozai?
Yeah.
And he's just like, people are diving into his stomach. What the fuck is that? Can I get high res of that? Because I can't even tell what it is. Like, it's so
wacky. It's just like some fat dude's stomach that has a mouth on it. And there's, it's like Elvis. Lemmings fucking yeah, Elvis with a fucking huge...
Actually, I think it's like mouth. Some sort of abomination of Buddha or something. I don't fucking know.
But what are the things going into its stomach? Is it people?
That's people, yeah.
Oh,
those are fucking people.
Yeah, here's the flavor. Oh, fuck you. Here's the flavor text. The Devous would sacrifice themselves, hoping it would escape from their debts to the guild. But many ended up owing in the afterlife.
Oh, that's just... That it's like
I bet you
wall.
Tessa wrote that shit into the contract.
Yeah, no shit, she did.
This people is why you read the fine print.
Now speaking of cards that I don't think we had time to touch on, and that I'm actually if we leave limited because it's hard to know until we play. We'll give you guys more of a breakdown once we actually play some limited with it, because really right now we're just going in drunk and we're going to see what happens. We're going to make it.
Well, here's one that I've been hearing some noise about. The Ascended Law Mage, flying, hexproof.
The Ascended Law Mage.
Yeah, it's an uncommon, but when you're talking limited, flying, hexproof. And
yeah, flying, hexproof, 3/2 four fucking mana.
That thing's going to be wrecking some faces.
Yeah.
Well, the card that I, Dragon Shift, man. That thing is blowout city. I love that's got to be my favorite art. That's cool.
Okay, you might like the art. You might like the idea of the card, but Lorwyn Block had a very similar card. It made a creature a changeling, gave him 4/4 flying, and that never seen much play.
Yeah, but you can overload this, dude. That's what got. I mean, you can overload this for.
Yeah, you're right.
Seven mana, though, it's not too bad. I mean, think about this. In standard, like when I first saw this deck, I'm like, what about American Souls? So it's like,
yeah, that's, kind of, that's what blue? I was thinking. If you if you're running a fucking token strategy,
yeah,
like that's that like, could be a nutty turn of odds. They all fucking go like they all turn into fucking 4/4 dragons. That's
so check this out. I'm thinking Lingering Souls. I'm thinking Gather the Townsfolk, and I'm thinking Intangible Virtue, and then basically this card as like some boom alpha.
Isn't there some shit to drop the fucking casting cost of fucking
instants and sorceries?
Hey, Maddie.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the opposite of Thalia kind of thing.
The goblin. The
Maddie,
goblin.
Just for fun, yeah. Right. And here's something that's even possible, maybe even possible during the pre-release here. Because I'm not sure, is the Dragon Maze pre-release going to have old set packs as well, or is it just all Dragon Maze?
No, well, the in pre-release, it's triple Dragon Maze, right?
Yeah.
Or is
so.
Or, yeah.
I think it's triple Dragon Maze.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay, fine. This will be draft possible then.
Okay.
Dragon Shift and Assemble the Legion. Hi, I just pissed in your Wheaties.
That's kind of cool, but yeah, that's slow. That's a fucking slow combo, but
yeah,
I like it.
It almost seems like, I mean, well, yeah.
Assemble the Legion, I know a lot of people are like, there's no way that's going to win. That fucking card keeps winning games, though, let me tell you. I'm not going to say I don't know why, because I know it does through attrition, but still.
I gotta be honest, I played with the Assemble Legion a couple times. I even have it in a deck, and it just, maybe I'm playing it wrong, I don't know, but it doesn't do what I think it's gonna do. It just, they still kill me with Thrag Tusks and shit, or Angels, and I don't know, it just doesn't, maybe I'm not, I need to play it against freaking blue-black control. Maybe that's where it shines, I don't know.
I like that fucking clear.
Actually, it shines against Thrag Tusks just fine. Because then you could just chump Thrag Tusk for days unless they get a fucking, what's it called? Wolf Run out.
Well, the Wolf Run always gets me, man. That or, like, I threw it down against Jund, and Olivia just ate them. Everything.
Yeah, well, yeah. Olivia was just going to take and, you know, eat your face anyway because she'll fly right over.
No, but the funniest was I was playing the guy, and I'm like, gotcha, Assemble the Legion, right? And I'm waiting, and he's like, he just tweeted me, he's like, you're not going to like this. I'm like, what, Olivia? And I'm like, oh, fuck you. And he's just like every turn, tink, 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 tink. She's like, oh, yummy, yummy. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. So he killed me with a 16-16 Olivia. I couldn't do nothing. So.
Fun facts for you boys and girls. Olivia, when she came out, was only 3 tickets.
Yeah, I got a couple of them, and I should have bought more. Oh, but you know what? You know what's very interesting? So did we talk about that whole Mythic and Paper Redemption thing?
Oh God! You mean how the
Yeah, we didn't. Okay, so
we have not talked about that. Yeah, the math was done on that.
Okay, so check this out, people. I read this amazing article. I'll put it in the show notes, where they broke down the what's happening between online prices and paper prices, and what they're saying is with redemption. So, Kevy, check this out because it doesn't sound like it makes sense. But I guess it does. So there you go, right? So it's like, okay, when you redeem a set on Magic Online, you have to take one of everything. Okay.
Right.
So that the rate of a mythic is being pulled out of the system at a much higher rate than a rare would. So what happens is as cards leave Magic Online,
mm-hmm.
the percentages of mythics in paper is much higher. And the percentages of mythics online that are left is incredibly low. So instead of like one in every 15, it's like one in every 30.
Okay.
And that's why what we are seeing is rares online are dirt. Like they're dirt cheap where they shouldn't, like you can still buy Deathrite Shaman for 4 tickets. And in paper that card's approaching $15-16. Versus like mythics where you got like Sphinx's Revelation is 40 tickets online and it's only $20 in paper, right?
Okay. Right.
So what I'm suggesting,
percentages are that skewed is what he's getting at.
Right. No, I get you.
So what I'm saying is when what me and Marcel do and what Ferret advises as well is when a set first comes out, the number one thing like what you should be doing is you should buy 4 times of your mythics first.
No. I've never suggested that.
Well, I'm suggesting.
I suggest it now. Doing that in 2 weeks, not day one.
No, I didn't say day one. I meant on the day
like,
first
right,
come
yeah.
out. Okay, let me wait
until after drafts have started.
Yes, I'm going to lawyer you now. Hold on. So I'm going to put a clause in here. I meant at the low price or the low point. Fine. So the low point of a set is it's the third week, right? Yeah, it's the third though. You usually see the biggest drop. But I'm saying, like, what I would used to do is I'd buy all my commons and uncommons and rares, and then I would pick and choose my mythics, but I always got burned. I'm like, what the fuck? Why the mythics just skyrocket as soon as redemption goes? So just watch out for redemption. Make sure you know when it's coming and buy your mythics, whatever you want, before your redemption hits. Because it'll suck it all out of the system, and then you're fucked. Damn it. So
that sucks. I was just looking at that, thinking about this. I was just looking at this the other day. The only things that I need for fucking Gatecrash, there's like fucking two or three commons that I need, but like the only two fucking cards I need for fucking to redeem Gatecrash are fucking Jace and fucking Angel of Serenity. I really don't want to buy those.
Oh, you mean Return to Ravnica? Well, actually,
Return to Ravnica, not Gatecrash. Sorry.
Jace is actually cheaper than he ever was, right? He's 14 right now. He was, remember, I bought him for $20, so.
Yeah.
He's cheap now.
I'm just thinking, like, it's like, I just was thinking about that. I was like, well, you know, I could just go snatch those up, but Angel of Serenity is fucking expensive. Jace is cheaper than he's been, but he's still kind of expensive. Yeah, and then it's probably less than a ticket worth of fucking a few commons I need.
Sphinx's Revelation is the one that hurts. $36.
Kevy, I have one of those. Just getting yourself any angels. At this exact, or wait, which set is Angel from?
She's a rare mythic from Return to Ravnica. Angel.
Oh, okay, she is Return to Ravnica. Yeah. For some reason, I kept thinking in my head, it's the other Angel, Restoration Angel, Innistrad, that's going to be leaving. I do not suggest buying any Innistrad block stuff at this point in time.
So, okay, so everyone still wants to know, Ferret, are we at sell time yet?
No.
Really? I think you're crazy. I think we should be selling soon, like now.
Okay, here's the thing. I mean, if you really want to, and you want to be, like, the hipster that's way ahead of the curve, go for it. Sell now. But most people will start selling a week out before rotation.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think you might be right.
You want to start selling 3 to 4 weeks out, because then you're still way ahead of the curve, and you won't have the massive drops, and you'll be able to enjoy your cards for the most time.
Yeah, there's still some cards I love playing with, so I don't really want to get rid of everything yet. But interesting.
Well, you know, to give you an example of a card that I just recently sold, the 4/3 little devil that does 4 damage, Vexing Devil.
Vexing Devil. Love that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's fucking awesome. But I know, too, that when rotation hits, he's going to end up going down to, like, a tick.
Yeah. Well, he's 304 now. I think he'd even go less than that, don't you?
No.
Really? In Modern, he's not playing
He's a
modern.
Burn character. Okay, let's just put it this way. There's too many casual burn decks out there.
Oh, yeah. I use him in my Modern burn deck.
Yeah, that's okay. Maybe he's like a 1-mana-costing 4 damage spell. He's a lava.
Well, yeah, that's his thing. Yeah, he's one of those, you know, they almost always take it. Unless they're going to eat a bolt. I mean, he sucks late game, but, like, they always take the fucking 4 in turn, you know, the first 2 to 3 turns. And like I said, unless they have a fucking bolt, which is fine. Fucking let him stay. Fucking he eats the bolt and then I cast something good. Like, but usually they end up taking 4 because they're like, oh, sweet. But then, I mean, the way the 4, like with Modern, it's like fucking, you know, everybody's fucking playing fucking shocks and fetches. So they're like, oh, sweet. I take 4 to keep him off the board. And then I take 1 to crack my fetch, go grab a fucking, a shock land, take 2 for that. I'm like, fucking sweet. You're down 7. Now I can start throwing bolts and shit at you. Like, yeah, good
true.
Job. Yeah, a way to go get those lands. And then if it's fucking game 2, I'm like, sweet. Throw a couple more out there. Blood Moon, suck it. Like,
now, you know,
I do like Vexing Devil in a burn deck like that.
Oh, yeah. The only reason I got rid of my Vexing Devils is just because if you guys see my picture recently that I put up on Twitter of my collection, I now have a whole lot of tickets to be able to go on spec targets and such for this set. Not because I thought the card, you know, I needed to get rid of it right now.
Wow. Oh, speaking of that, real quick, I finally sold my fucking Geists. Which,
oh, did you?
Yeah, I actually made fucking, or not made money on them, but like I barely lost anything on them.
Okay, nice. Cool.
And then I was like, my whole plan was like, you know what? I don't need these fucking things online, but I do want them in fucking paper, like for our format, like our casual modern format. And so
Proxy
I was like,
guy.
way better to have in paper. Well, no, I was just going to fucking buy them. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. They're $20 a pop in fucking paper. They're a little cheaper than what I fucking sold them for. So I was like, sweet. And I already have one. So in paper. So, you know, I'm going to buy two, three more.
Heavy.
You know what we were just saying don't do? And what are you doing?
No, but listen.
Do not buy right during when Maddie's thinking, should we sell this? And Kevin's like, yes, I will buy. People, you
this is why you're able
to sell the cards, because people like Kevin, who cannot fucking control themselves.
No, check it out. It's even better. Like, I decided not to buy the fucking guys. I sold them for fucking tickets, and then I sold the fucking tickets to Marcel, and then Marcel hit me up, and he's just all, right on, man, here, he's all, here, I can fucking throw that shit to your PayPal, or do you want to just put it towards the fucking, the Vegas house? And I was like, oh, I didn't even fucking think about that. Yeah, so I sold my plate set of Geists to pay for my fucking room in Vegas.
Oh, that is.
That's awesome.
That was good value.
Hell yeah, that's value, because that weekend is going to be way cooler than four fucking Geists.
Oh, no shit. I hope they do Vegas again next year, because then I could join you guys.
Oh, hell, for sure. Yeah. Now, look at this. So, Rolly Rob here on Twitter, this is a perfect lead-in for us. He's like, guys, any suggestions on which cards to be chasing out of Dragon Maids with the highest EV? I've been reading what SCG is saying.
I'm gonna, my call on that one.
Okay.
Let's hear it, Kevy.
he's a savant. I'm actually.
That's the reason why I'm like, here, Kevy, tell me so I can write this shit down.
No, I honestly think, like, the one that I think, I honestly think, I know we discussed it already, but I think fucking Blood Scribbler is gonna end up being a fucking expensive card.
You know what? I think Scribbler's a trap. Though. I think it's a
trap. I don't think it is. I honestly think it's going to fucking – because that – what you can do with that – like we said, Bob is fucking a better card, but Bob's not in standard.
Okay. Kevin,
I think it'll help.
It's no Death Rite Shaman. It's no Thrag Tusk. It's not going to – no.
I think it'll be $2.
Hey, you watch.
Okay, well, here, this is a good call.
The chase card is fucking Phyto Burst, the fucking common. I fucking love that card.
That card is awesome, actually.
The sorcery speed, fucking green in one, fucking give it 5/5. That's going in my fucking modern fucking blue-green Delver deck, too. Like, yeah. Yeah, sure, I'll flip my Delver, and then he'll swing in for, what, 8? Yeah.
No, Blood Scrivener to me is, he's cool. It's just I'm very excited to play with, like, do some test playing with him, because it sounds just like he sits in your hand, or you drop him early, okay, so he's a 2/1 zombie that does nothing until someone kills him. I don't see him getting value.
Like, I was like, that card is gonna be the one.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Awesome. I think Blood Scribbler is gonna be fucking.
So here's the card. Here's the card I'd be picking up, Aetherling. So all the pros.
What we need to do is
fucking do the same thing we did last time.
Yeah, right. We never actually finished, but whatever. We'll finish this one. we did a couple updates on the last one, and then like when the set came out, when we were supposed to actually check it out, I don't think we ever did.
No, we actually did. You were just too drunk to remember it. And
Maddie.
Even better. I think Maddie ended up winning that one.
I won it by a hair over Ferret. It was awesome. My percentages came out. It was all the freaking Tar Land. But
Deathrite Shaman is actually what did it for you, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Because she just went through the roof. And we were trying to go with different cards. Otherwise, I would have picked Deathrite Shaman, too, if you go back to listen to it.
Yeah, I do. I do remember that.
Ferret, you could have just picked Sphinx of Revelation and slaughtered everyone, but you didn't.
No shit, right? Boy, did I miss that one.
No one thought it was going to double from 20. It was like, it's $20.
No,
it's already.
I mean, shit. You don't expect a card to do that. That just That's like Thrag Tusk and fucking Resto Angel. You don't expect prices to do that for rares. It just ain't right.
Which is, like, Resto Angel still's crazy that it's that expensive. But anyways, my call, I think, is Aetherling. I think that one, it is, you know, it's 4/2. It's 6 mana. 4/5, and it then does a ton of shit. Patrick Chapin says, you never cast this with 6 mana. You always do it with 7, so that he's protected. Because his first ability, you can, you know, blink him. I mean,
he's the new Morphling, is what he is.
But what they're saying is, like, if it comes down, what you look at first, you think it's a 4/5, but really it's not. It's an unblockable, like, what, 8? or 8-3. Like, it's a big – it's going to be a two-turn clock if this thing gets on the board and it's protected. So when I look at it that way, yeah, it does sound very powerful. So that's the one. I mean, what is Star City – I think they were listing at $7 in paper pre-order price, which –
Oh, hey, Maddie, do you have Star City up right now?
Yeah.
Okay, can you look at what the presale on Progenitor Mimic is? Just wondering.
Progenitor Mimic?
Yep.
Which one is that?
He's the Simic Mythic Rare. I'm just curious.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's check him out. I think it was Dirt. I don't think he liked that one. Where'd you go, Mimic? He's got, so far they're saying Ralzeric, $30. Which...
Yeah, they're doing that on all – we talked about that too, that they're doing that for all the walkers.
Beck and Call, the card everyone's hyped to their fucking nannies about, is only – they're $4. So, I mean, a lot of people are saying that the value here isn't there. Aetherling is this the big one that people are like, it's $6 right now and it's going up and up. The one, though, that a lot of people are misreading is Skylasher. He's that freaking one in a green, 2/2. And he's a flash, can't be countered, reach protection from blue fucking insect thingy.
Is he a rare or uncommon what?
He's a rare, and he's $3, and they're specking that's going to $6. He's even saying it's going to go to 10, which I really don't think so. But
I'm going to see if I can't find him.
But talk about it.
Hey, I got a question. So while we're on spoilers, like something came up. Remember hearing about, but I don't know exactly what the situation was. What was the deal with the was it Voice of Resurgence and the was it Amara Tandris or whatever? There was an issue with
The shitty one where they swapped the abilities on the card.
Yeah, is that what it was, that the abilities were swapped?
Yeah. So what it was is, if you read Merrill's article, he basically said that he had the cards. They wanted all the runners or the guild champions to be rares, not mythics. So they kind of fucked up everything and they shuffled a bunch of shit around. But they obviously didn't, like, the big thing that Vorthos Mike, shout out to you, buddy. He's one of my new favorite guys. He's not new, but he's back again, so I love following him. And he wrote a great article and he was saying about, you know, the creative director of Wizards just got fired. Or he left, or who knows what happened, right? Well, there's a perfect example.
His position got terminated.
Well, that's just the dumbest thing in the world. I don't know why they would fucking do that. But, like, okay, there's a perfect example. Amara Tandris. Everyone can see it right away. Every player looks at the card and goes, that's a fucking mistake. So why would you fire a guy who probably was yelling at you the whole time that this is wrong? And it's silly that they release cards that are so blatantly mistaken. Maybe it's, you know, they're all too close, right? Because they all design the cards and they don't see the errors. And but they should really run stuff by us. Hey, heavy metal. Take a look at all these cards.
What I still don't get, though, is this. Okay, so what they ended up with is fucking Amara Tandris, which is a fucking 7-drop for a 5/7, prevent all damage to fucking creature tokens. Then you've got fucking Voice of Resurgence, a fucking 2-drop for 2 that goes apeshit. And so, like, what is it? Those abilities for Voice of Resurgence were supposed to be on Amara?
Yep.
Is that kind of what it was going on?
Exactly.
And then they sent it out the door that way anyway, so that's why fucking Voice of Resurgence is like fucking $18 to pre-order.
Oh, is
okay,
it?
Voice of Resurgence, you know what? I would actually completely believe that Voice of Resurgence was actually supposed to be Amara, because if you remember, I was saying an elf should be about 2/2.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was. That's exactly
what they did, was switch the names and pictures on the cards.
So, Kevy, pre-order is actually $30 on SCG right now. For Voice
pre-order on TCG is fucking like lowest price is $17.99.
All right, well, there you go. For Progenitor Mimic, fair.
What is fucking $8. What is Ral Zarek at?
Ral is $30.
All right, see, and that's why, like, see, this is why I still go to fucking, I don't care what people say, I go to TCG when I'm buying shit, because you gotta fucking, like, Ral's 26, fucking Voice Resurgence is fucking, and this is just average price, like, it is 19, Legion's Initiative is 1082, Blood Baron of Viscopa is 1039, and then it drops from there. But the, like, you know, you go to SCG, and it's fucking easily fucking $5-6 a card more. And, like, Jay Bush at one point was saying, he's just like, yeah, but, you know, the problem is if you go
shipping.
Well, yeah, shipping, except for, like, every time I order from there, it's like, okay, I need this bunch of cards. So you fucking, you know, of course, I'll start with my expensive cards. I'll find the fucking cheapest price I can for it. I fucking add that to my cart. Then everything else I'm looking for is highlighted in green if it's already at a place in my cart. So I still end up only paying fucking shipping from a couple places if more than one, depending on how many cards I'm getting. And then you go to the little cart optimizer thing when you're done, and it'll run through everything you're looking for, and it'll find you the cheapest possible price, like the cheapest possible combination of doing it with shipping and your card prices. You know, sometimes maybe it'll come up with like, oh, well, you wanted four of this card, and they were fucking 3 cents cheaper on the place that you got them from.
Sure.
But we can actually redo it so you're getting them from fucking two different places that you were already ordering from, and you still knock your shipping prices down. Like, every time I do that, yeah, I'll go through and try to find like the best deal that I can on the shit, which is always way cheaper than fucking Star City. And then I'll do the optimizer, and it'll be like, oh, here, it's $5 cheaper now. Or it's fucking $8 cheaper because we went through and we found the same cards for fucking 3 cents more, but from the same vendors, so that you're not paying shipping again.
Sure. I mean, I ordered stuff from Face to Face. They're pretty decent. And so is Legit. I mean,
yeah, if I'm going to
Medina's
order,
Medina's pretty
like
good
that,
too. Like, oh, yeah. I don't know Medina's about his pre-orders. Does he do pre-orders?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Actually, you know what? Here you go. Heavy Med SVU. Tell us where you pre-order your paper cards. Where are you getting the best deals, and like, what do you think? Who's got the best service? Because we're always curious, you know? We're not loyal
to anyone.
That's
actually, you know what, like, after of all the years of listening, or years, but you know, all the episodes of fucking the A-Team that I've listened to, and knowing that, you know, Medina had fucking Legit, I still, like, was always, you know, I was just used to going to TCG all the time, and that's actually how I ended up ordering more often through Legit, is because I was when I was looking for my Gravecrawlers, the promo ones, and it popped up like the cheapest fucking price for them popped up Legit MTG. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, well, then I'm not going to order them through fucking TCG because then it charges Medina. I'll just, you know, because TCG, when a store sells through them, they take a cut off the top. So I was like, okay, I'll just go to fucking, you know, Medina's site and order them from there. And then ordered them directly from him. And of course, it's Medina. He's a fucking bro. So like, he sent me a fucking zombie token fucking signed, and you know, like, they do free shipping and shit like that, so that actually got me more into wanting to order from Legit. So it's, you know, lo and behold, it is actually Legit.
I mean, the last thing we'll talk about really quickly is like in paper. What I'm gonna try and do for my cube is I want foils, and if there's two foils of the whole set I want over anything else is opposite it to eight, I want that in foil, because I think that card is just so wicked for cube. And I want Progenitor Mimic for my cube in foil.
Dude, fuck that. You have to get the one I'm talking about a minute. No, you have to also get the fucking...
I don't think Scribbler is going to make a cube.
No, not Scribbler.
Oh, fucking Voice Resurgence? Yeah.
No. It's the one I fucking... Dead of the Deathless.
Oh, yeah. That art is sick, too.
Dude,
I think I can get that cheaper, though. I'm going to wait. Voice of Resurgence at 20. I bet foils are like $40.
I mean, am I just completely like off my element here in saying that if I'm doing a cube and I want to pimp it out, wouldn't I just be better off going with custom proxies? I mean, I realize that some people are purists and they're just going to say I'm a complete asshole.
No,
I mean,
you know what?
A cube is a completely casual format.
Right. Here's the thing, like, I'm still building my cube, right? And I've shown a lot of pictures that, like, I've gotten some stuff off Proxy Guy. And yes, it does look fucking awesome. It is amazing. But the problem is, like, I have a lot of cards too, so it's kind of like, the way I'm building my cube is just, like, it's the cards I remember. And some of the cards, like, I don't have Moxes anymore, I don't have freaking Dual Lands, so I'm like, Proxy Guy, hook me up. And those look amazing. Right. But, like, certain cards, I don't want to get everything Proxy, because it's kind of... It feels weird, man.
Well,
like,
I'm just saying, you know, like, there's like, certain people out there who have, like, the black and white cubes. So there's every single card is redone with custom art, and it's all black and white, you know, art.
I mean, if I was going to build a completely, like, theme cube, like, crazy shit, yeah. But that's – I don't have time for that shit, man.
I got you. I don't play cubes as much, so I just – and I'll be honest.
Don't do the cubing.
Man, cube is, I gotta say, like, I really, I liked cube, I played it a couple times, but like when I played the online cube, it's completely sold me, like to make me like try and get my paper cube going because it is so insane. And we are playing. Marcel, we're going to play. Is it this weekend?
Oh, yeah. No, I'll play cube with you guys.
Okay. So we're playing this weekend then cube if we're not drafting. All right. If cube is on, done. Marcel, we owe you. We're going to hook you up, man. Well, I got your cube draft because I am – it's just so much fun, man. I
will try to get in on this, but I will also be pre-releasing and booze cubing this weekend. So I only get so much – no, it's funny. We were talking about this. Like, I actually was going to try to move booze cube to Saturday night instead of Friday night because our pre-release is on Saturday morning. Literally every single pre-release I've ever played, I've showed up still drunk because we ritually play booze cube before or just get hammered and fucking play Magic at my house the night before fucking pre-release because we're all stoked and we're all, yeah, it's fucking on. We're going to fucking go tournament tomorrow. It's going to be fucking fun. Let's get hammered drunk. And then I always show up fucking – and I think this is half my problem. I'm already, obviously, as you guys know, a hyperactive fucking person as it is. So then I get hammered drunk. I'm still kind of drunk when I wake up. And, you know, of course, I probably stayed up till fucking 2 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, getting fucking hammered and playing fucking Magic. And then I get up and I've got to go actually fucking focus and play a limited fucking format and, you know, with cards I've never played with before. And so what do I do? I'm like, oh, God, I feel like garbage. Run through McDonald's, grab some fucking breakfast, and grab two rock stars and fucking hammer them down.
Oh, and God, you're so, barfing, man. That's the
same. Oh, no. Dude, I drink – like I that's a vital part of my diet. Rock stars are like – that's what I survive on.
Kevy,
I'm used to it. But what happens is then I'm sitting there fucking playing. You know, I get, you know, we go through the whole fucking, the bullshit at first, and it's like, oh, okay, cool, you know, tournament's actually finally fucking starting, I got my deck built, and now I'm just, like, fucking twitching, because I'm like, I'm on fucking a quick McDonald's fucking breakfast and two rock stars, and I'm just all, oh, now I'm fucking wired out of my mind. I'm like, hurry up, kid, hurry the fuck up and shuffle your deck, I need to get this over with. And so I'll finally, like, after round one, then I'm like, fuck this, and go pour vodka in my fucking rock stars to balance me back out. And then I'm like, okay, cool. But by then, you know, it's like round two, round three, and I'm like, oh man, I already lost the first two rounds because I'm a garbage Magic player and I can't focus. So this week, or I mean this pre-release, I was just like, hey, because the guys were asking, you know, our local fucking Mu Tau Gamma chapter, our fucking local play group, they're all, hey, so we're gonna do our fucking ritual you know, booze cube the night before. And I was like, actually, let's do it on fucking Saturday instead. So we can sleep, get up, go play real Magic, and then fucking come home and get hammered and play booze cube. And Rob is just all cracking jacked on Twitter. Our fucking boy is just all, yeah, I don't know if that's going to work, dude. I got to go to fucking church in the morning on fucking Sunday morning.
Hey,
he's like, we're going to
pray for forgiveness, then ask permission.
Yeah, no shit. So he's just all, and I read his fucking message. He's like, yeah, dude, I don't know. I can't get too drunk. I got to go to church in the morning. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just do it Friday. Let's go ahead and fucking do what we always do and get hammered drunk and show up fucking still drunk and hungover to the fucking pre-release. Like, I'm probably going to get fucking beat down by like a kid again, more than likely at this pre-release. It's going to be awesome.
Kevin, you have to take like one of those little 6-second videos of you winning a game against a kid, like slamming
down. Screaming at him, like fucking standing on the table. Welcome to the real world, jackass! And push him over, like face mush him.
Oh man, that shit would go viral so quick.
That would be awesome. Oh, hey, you know what we totally forgot about that awesome mana ramper, Zyrtai Druid, man. Okay, you guys. This thing dropped. It was one of the last spoilers that came out, and it kind of got put under the rug. It's just a common, but it's a red green. 1/1 human druid.
Oh yeah.
It taps for a green, but it says whenever it taps, it deals 1 damage to each opponent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, dude. That is fucking awesome, right? Is it not? I mean, yes, of course, if he costs 1 mana, he'd be amazing. But the fact that he's dealing damage.
Every time it taps for mana, so then can't you like? Aren't there plenty of fucking cards you can just throw that into like a fucking. Some sort of fucking infinite loop, like to untap, like something to untap
it. You mean like Paradise Mantle and Freed the Real? Yeah.
Wait, can't you do this with Splinter Twin? Can he go in Splinter Twin?
How would you Splinter Twin him?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Oh no, I guess it wouldn't work.
Maddie, Paradise Mantle. Tap for a mana. Then either Pemmon's Aura or Freed from the Reel. Take one blue mana. Untap this creature.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Right.
There's
right.
your infinite loop right there.
Yeah, and then you just click, 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 boom. Yeah, and yeah, that works.
Even you notice everything's all click, click.
Yeah, of course. Even in standard though, you look at him during the course of a game. He's like dealing an extra 4 or 5 damage. Just from ramping you into other shit. I don't know. He sounds really cool.
I just figured I was playing Scotty the other night before. Sorry. But yeah. I was playing Scotty the other night before his stream to give him a warm-up game, and I figured out some shit against fucking Splinter Twin. This is probably something you motherfuckers have known forever, but nobody told me. Fucking Rakdos Charm is awesome. Just shut off the fucking Splinter Twin.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You just figured that.
Yep. Yeah, I'm the red-black player, and I just figured that out.
Well, there you go. Like, Splinter Twin, though, it used to be a lot scarier, but there's a lot of answers now. I mean,
another favorite one of mine is Girl Charm, which will buy you a turn, but, you know.
By the way, Kevy, I'm surprised you haven't been jonesing out of your mind for that new goblin, that 3-1 haster, Spike Jester, red and black. And he's the ugliest fucking goblin in the world.
Yeah, I remember seeing the art for it. I don't remember what the fuck dude
he's
does.
He's punching a giant, weird-looking alligator with stalks for eyes or something. Dinosaur. Fucking looks hilarious.
I fucking punch alligators.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Oh, right, there it is. Yeah. See, I don't know. I think I automatically shut. Like, as much as I love playing Rakdos, every time there's a fucking one of those stupid-looking clowns on a card, I shut off because it reminds me of, like, Insane Clown Posse. And it just makes me hate it. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, here we got to take some questions.
Everyone haste for red and black. That's not fucking. That's not bad at
all.
Right, like,
let's get our questions. What is
all
it?
Right, you fuck you and your questions. Hey, I say when we're done. Carnage Gladiator. Speaking of Rakdos, Carnage Gladiator. I fucking like that guy.
That is awesome.
Black 2 for a 4/2. Whenever a creature blocks, that creature's controller loses a life, and then you just regenerate them for red, black, and one.
Yeah, that is a total Kevy card.
All right, yep. So good old Mildivane, he has a F, Mary kill for us, and he's like, this time, guys, since you did so good with the fictional characters, he's like, why don't you take it into the real world, and why don't you do the A-team? And I'm like, oh, man, we got to fuck, Mary kill the A-team? I'm like,
oh, no. And then we got to leave somebody out.
I have a question here. What the fuck is with all you fucks out there keeping asking us about Mary fuck kill on only guys?
I don't know. Last time it was all the girls from that was pretty good. That was a funny one.
What was the one before that?
I can't even remember.
The one before that.
There was too much Kraken being drunk that night.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the first fuck Mary kill was, but then we had the chick legendary creature bitches or whatever.
I mean, I guess if I had to fuck, marry, kill, or enslave, I guess he's got a fourth one because there's 4 members.
Yeah, there's 4 members. No, I think what we should do is just fucking, or we could just, to save our jobs, we could just, like, not include KYT in any of them.
I was just going to say.
Well, no, you marry.
Can't
you're
we just
there.
Say that the enslave is automatically DERF, whether he's 18 or not?
There you go. I mean, you got
there in the corner, and we just rattle his cage to piss him off every once in a while.
I mean, you got to marry KYT to make his dad happy, right? Like, cause, you know,
not if you're fucking not Asian.
No, you got he's getting too much pressure, so you got to marry KYT. I guess. I mean, I don't know, man. I guess. I mean, Medina might give me free cards. I mean, I might have to fuck him for a couple of favors.
You're gonna fuck him for I'm sure that's the way to get free cards from the guy. Like, yeah, oh, look, over there. Bend him over and just fuck his ass. And he's just like, oh, dude, thanks. Here's some cards.
That's true. That could be very true. But, I mean, what else is left? Like, I can't kill Scotty or Boosh. They're awesome. Like, I don't know. This is a brutal one. I don't know, man. I guess we
get a free pass on this one and just say next?
No, I got mine.
I mean, I guess I would have to kill. Well, Boosh has been a fucking guest on the show. I can't kill him, man. I can't kill Scotty. Fuck. Okay, I'll redo it. I'll marry Scotty because he looks like he's a good provider, and I would fuck Jay Boosh because he's got a salty mouth. He would talk really dirty. He would talk really dirty to me, and then I would kill Medina because then I would just steal his carrots. Why would I bother to do them?
I would kind of go with that whole, I would go to try to kill Medina, but that is one bad motherfucker.
That's right. You know, he is a crossbow.
The fact that we try to kill him, then we're just dead. We don't have to worry about the other options.
That's true. I just remember.
See, my thought is completely different than your guys'. See, like, I would marry Medina because I live in California, and then I divorce his ass and take half his cards. And
brilliant.
So I'm set there. And then, I mean, I'm going to have to fuck one of them. So with banging him, I'm going to have to – that one's tough. Like, KYT seems like he's smaller than me, so I could just fucking pounce on him. But I would say I'd probably have to fuck Scotty Mac because he's just a fucking gorgeous motherfucker. And if I'm gonna go gay for any of those dudes, it's gonna have to be fucking.
You know, all I could hear in my ears right now is KYT's famous. Whoa,
yeah, no shit.
Get off me, Kevy, what are you doing?
It seems like he's fucking small and hopefully slow, so I could pounce on him. But no, if I'm going to fuck one of them, it's got to be – if I'm going to go gay for any of those guys, it's going to have to be my man, Scotty. And then I got to kill one of them, and, like, if I kill KYT, we're fucked out of a job. If I kill Jay Bush, it's just going to make Reddit happy. So I think I'd have to kill Jay as much as I love that guy, but – sorry, Jay, you gotta go. And then, yeah, I'm marrying Medina and divorcing him for his cards, and I'm banging Scotty.
Yeah, and you can't kill KYT because he's Batman.
Right.
He's
got a plan for everything.
That's right. He'll fucking take you down. You try to kill him, and he'll break your neck. He'll snap you. All right, Ferret, what are you doing? You're a ferret. Can you even hold a gun?
I think we need to tell as part of this, because we did this, we need to make fucking the A-Team do a fuck, marry, kill on us.
Oh, no, I don't even, I don't want to know the answers.
Don't want to hear the answers.
Oh, God.
Jay Bush is all, kill all of them, and then fuck them.
And then
I do not want to become an anal weasel, okay? No. I am not replacing hamsters. Not happening.
That's just disgusting. All right, well, we're gonna leave that one because it got filthy in there all of a sudden. We need to get the hell out of there.
That's what we do.
So a lot of people were they give some. By the way, guys, I mean props, man. I'm gonna give the audience claps to the Heavy Med SVU because they gave us almost 60 comments, Kevin.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, dude, you guys
on our contest.
Huge. Oh, yeah. Now. Yeah. But what I was going to say, too, is although we got a, you know, we went from like 5 comments to fucking 60 because we told you had to comment to fucking enter a contest. But what I did notice is like it got people to comment, but it wasn't just a bunch of people saying like, here's my shit. Now I want to win something. It like, you know, everybody that commented had, you know, valid good ideas and fucking valid feedback. And, you know, we're cool. They weren't just like, here's my idea. Now fuck off and give me cards. It was just love the fucking show. So it got people commenting, and it was really cool to see all of you fucking like jump on and comment.
So I know a lot of you are like, well, which one was it? And you know, it was a hard call. I mean, we had some good ideas. The one about like letting our kids do crayon drawings, then you guys have to interpret what it is. Sounds like there will be some funny shit. We like the idea of like, you know, designing, you know, heavy metal cards. Like that'd be kind of cool. But there was
one. I love the audio clip idea too. I have to give that one fucking props. That like.
Yeah,
a 2 to 5 minute audio clip of like your favorite, you're the best like heavy meta moments for the first 25 episodes. But that's going like that's asking you guys to go a little far. As much as I love that idea,
all right, we'll probably get one submission. I gotta give mad shout out to Maxime Boucher. He was the guy that
Boucher.
Boucher. He's the guy. Okay, I have. My drink's gone.
Mine's not.
So, about
the first couple are, but I've still got one.
Well, anyway, the reason he's getting mad shout-outs is in comments he mentioned how in his class that he takes and uses magic cards in the class for different reasons, and then like one of his friend teachers took one step above what he does. And he actually awards lands to kids, and kids have to choose what lands that they get, and they could turn in like so many lands of each color for different rewards and such. That is so
like extra 5 minutes of recess and shit like that. But like different, the different colored lands do different shit, so they have to like pick which land, like when they win a land, they got to carefully pick which one they want. So that is fucking awesome.
I got to give that guy super props then, because that, like that right there, if I was in your class as a kid, not only would you be like, make me want to come
Maddie would have spent.
Oh God.
Fucking 8 years in the fourth grade. He would have kept purposely failing so he could stay and play Magic.
I would, man. I that game was very addictive. But
he's
the
first fourth grader with a full fucking beard.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a story later on about
yeah, and then you turn into the fucking neckbeard that's punking little kids for their Magic cards. You're the scumbag in the back of the room on your fucking fifth year of fourth grade, and you're just trading kids like terrible fucking trades, fucking trying to get their lands so you can get extra recess.
All right. Sorry that I turned around and divulged off, but here we go. The winner.
Okay. Yeah.
The winner.
So the winner is Daniel Slinger. So you, here's his idea, and I think it's pretty solid. And we've made a few edits, but the general idea is he wants you guys.
Well, you should read his comment, and then we'll tell him, like, so that's his idea, but we'll tell him what we decided to change on it.
Gotcha. So he's like, Heavy Meta is my favorite podcast. You guys are just talking shit and have more fun than other podcasts, and I love it. Your content should be you make a booze cube card, but the submissions all have to be Guild Maze runners. So we love this idea, and here's our twist on it. So what we'd like you to do is say, you take anyone that's ever been on Heavy Meta, or the hosts, or the cast members, whoever you want, and you need to make them. So let's say you pick Ferret. You got to make Ferret Booze Cube Maze Runner. You got to assign him a guild. You got to make him a card and make it funny. You can pick anyone you want that's been on. You can pick Marcel. You can pick freaking Real Evil Genius. You can pick Jack LaCroix. You can pick Kevy, me. You know, you can pick anyone you want. But
as long as they've been on the show, they're eligible.
All right, are we going to limit people on their submissions, or are they allowed to put as many submissions as they want?
As many as you want. I don't see why we
would. Well, here's my thought. Like, we could do that now. You know, my thought on it would be you can do as many as you want, but you can't submit the same person as a different card twice.
Okay, that's cool.
Sure.
And
so if you want to make one of each fucking person that's ever been, like, you know, say one guy wants to make a fucking card for everybody that's been on, including the three hosts, that's fine. But I don't want to see fucking five different versions of Kevy Metal.
No.
Hopefully,
right, well,
like,
here's
one
what,
of
here's what I was going to say, though, is that you can only win one Rorik. You can't win all
that's
three
right.
of them that are going to be up. Just so you guys do know that. So in other words, you might submit 100 different cards.
Right. Well, so
not that we haven't had that many people here yet, but you get the idea.
So Daniel's won a Rurik. We're going to get, as soon as it's online, we'll get you one out. And then.
Well, actually, I was going to give it a week after release.
Yeah. Okay. So
you got to give it time to at least get the damn thing.
Yeah. Well, a week after release, we'll get you one, Daniel. You hook us up. You hit us up on Twitter, and we'll get you what you need. And then the winner of the contest, we're going to give you guys 2 weeks now. Okay, so we're not going to rush you because we want these to be cool. So take your time, but do submit them. You can drop them in the comments. You can tweet them. We'd preferably be – we'd like to see them with an image, you know, use the card designer.
Well, what we need to do – there are a few different card set designers and shit out there. We need to at least put one of those –
Magic set editor is the most common one there, Kevin.
Right. We need to put a link for that in the show notes so that everybody – that'll be in the show notes so that you guys can, you know, jump over to that. I use it. Fuck it. I made those fucking the A-Team cast members fucking cards for the fucking Booze Cube a while back. It's even if you're retarded like me, it's fucking easy to use. And then that way you can actually design a card rather than being like, here's a picture that I drew with crayons and then this is what the abilities are. That way you can actually put it into a card. And then what we can do too is we can, you know, even if, because I'm sure there will be plenty of good ones and we'll pick the winners for it, but then we can also either throw into the show notes or link on Mana Deprived, you know, a gallery of like either all of the submissions or the top 10 or something like that so that, you know, you guys can also snatch those up and fucking throw them in your Booze Cube if you want.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. So what I would like is if we'll come up with a hashtag, tweet it and hashtag it so we can sort them on Twitter to find them all. But yeah, and then obviously when next week or the week after, I'll put all the art JPEGs or whatever you guys send us, and we'll put them all up on the site page too, because I think this will be hilarious. Maybe we proxy guy will even produce real versions for one lucky winner. We don't know.
Well, yeah. No, and that's exactly what I want to do too, because I would like to have, you know, I'm sure we'll have, you know, our winner and our second place and third place and whatnot, but I'd like to, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of good ones that maybe not quite made it, but I'd like to have those, you know, up so everybody can see them. And I'm going to snatch them. Like, all my Booze Cube cards are just printed out and then sleeved in front of fucking commons. And so I'm just going to snatch them up, cut them out, and throw them in my Booze Cube.
Yeah. Well, here's what I was going to say is, don't think that we're necessarily going to only give three cards away, because just those are like the grand prizes. If we get badass enough submissions, I'm not beyond giving some other random couple of rares here and there away.
Oh yeah, me too. Like, I'll throw in some shit. If someone blows my mind, I'll throw them a Sphinx's Revelation if you want. Like,
well, and I also like, okay, a couple things with that. One, we also, you know, as we know, Ferret kind of knows how to make proxies, maybe a little bit. So,
little bit.
You know, maybe we get you know, we pick one of them that we like. Maybe we do something like Ferret does that up as a fucking proxy. I know you can't do foil stuff right now, but Ferret can do it.
Actually,
up.
Actually, I have one sheet of foil.
Oh, we're not left. Save that sheet for the 100th episode. Now.
I might have to do that. Unfortunately, yeah.
Does it go bad? No, but anyway, so guys, like, here's what we're looking for. So funny is always obviously hilarious. It is Booze Cube playable. It doesn't
have drinking abilities, but yeah, you do have that option. Booze Touch and fucking Intoxicated.
Yep. So I mean, what I don't want is every single card to be like, take 50 drinks.
You can do that if you want to, but we're not going to pick you to win if it's just like, take 50 drinks, yay! Yeah. Like, we actually want to see, you know, good functional cards that away. And, you know, maybe if you're not familiar with the Booze Cube, I don't know why you're listening to this cast, but, you know, you can jump on and look at the fucking full list of the Booze Cube cards and get a feel of, like, what the cards do, maybe what the set needs. Because we're going to pick the best fucking submission for it. And you know what? If you maybe you don't fucking come up with the most crazy fucking off-the-wall outlandish cool idea, but you come up with the best fucking card that could possibly fit in the Booze Cube, you know, the way that you word the text and everything, that maybe that ends up winning.
Yeah.
So, you know, and here's the other thing, too, is you got to remember, I'm pretty sure the guys from the Booze Cube will kind of be looking. You never know. They might steal your idea.
Yeah, well, they might even put it in.
He's on fucking Mu Tau Gamma with me. Like, you know, I write for that site occasionally, but Jeebus's site, like, but that's like the home of the Booze Cube now. You can go there, like mtgbrodeals.com, quick plug. You can go there and get like the full, the printable version of the Booze Cube, zip file for it. You can also go to, I think it's like Booze Cube, Blogspot, something or other, that like his personal site that's got them all, like the visual spoiler up there, so you can just browse through them if you want to. But yeah, he's a homie. He's a friend of ours. And he'll be in Vegas with us too. So yeah, we definitely, like, he will see these cards and it might end up in the fucking, the expansion that he's doing. So
nice. So we've got one or two more questions. One question here is from Tommy Moles. He wants to know, he's like, what Dragon Maze card, one card, just pick one card real quick, rapid fire here, and you can't pick Ralzeric, that's going to actually make an impact in Standard out of Dragon Maze? And I'm like, man, I got to be honest with you, a lot of the cards, it's hard to say.
I got Abyss Aid.
Yeah, well, oh, shit, you're right. Okay, so the brand new tech. Because what is that? Omniscience is spiking like crazy on MTGO. It's up to like 7 or 8 tickets now, and apparently there's good. If even a couple of people agree that, you know, turn 5 Omniscience drop your shit is a deck. So
hell, that, I wasn't even paying attention to that particular aspect, but yeah, just aid. It's
brutal.
Fuck.
Like,
yeah, anything.
Yeah, so Reanimator, if you're not buying Rest in Peace right now, you're stupid. That's what I mean, I am now making, I'm going to speculate on Rest in Pieces.
Rest in Peace is a good card, but you could also get Ground Seal, which would protect you from this.
Well, Ground Seal rotates, doesn't it?
Wait a minute. I thought everything rotates when M14 comes out. Not
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know it does. I'm just like ahead of the curve, Ferretiman. if it was my card,
would you little dog too?
If it was my card, I guess I want to say Runic Thar, because I still think he's nuts. I mean, I know a lot of people are just smashing him down, but man, like, okay, think about if you got Runic Thar on the table and the guy's like, hey, Ob's without age, Omniscience, great. What are you going to do? You just took six. How many more cards do you want to cast for free? You're dead. I don't know. I think Runic Thar is a sleeper. I'm fucking, hey, we're giving one away in the contest. He's my pick.
Actually, no, Maddie, you missed. I'm giving four away. We've already had the first one announced. Then there's going to be three more. And if Runic Thar, if I'm right, seriously, and I'm not even kidding on this, if Runic Thar ends up being a nickel card, anybody who enters the contest will get one.
Done.
There you go.
There you go. I hope he doesn't, actually.
This is me literally putting my money where my mouth is. If it's an expensive card, I'm going to throw out the full play set. If it ends up being a nickel card, like I expect anybody who enters, you will get I will give you an MTGO Runic Thar just for entering.
He's a big spender, man.
So basically everybody's just all, man, I hope this thing fucking breaks late.
Yeah, exactly.
Ferret's gonna be a nickel right off the bat. Ferret's gonna give out 100 of them.
Doesn't necessarily have to be a nickel, but you get the idea. If it's cheap enough and I can afford to do it, then I'll do it.
Done. Ferret's awesome. So, Cavi, what do you think? Any card like you think is gonna hit standard?
Other than my Blood Scribbler, which I think, but I already said that for the other thing we did. So I'll pick a different card. The only other one I see that I think might actually have an impact is Notion Thief.
Yeah, there's talk of that one too. I can see that.
That with fucking against Sphinx's Revelation and all that good shit. Like I have a feeling that Notion Thief will. I mean, you know, it's spoiler season. Everybody looks at, like, every possible application of the card and comes up with all these ideas and stuff. But, you know, like we've seen time and time again, that shit really starts to change when you get to play with the cards and feel everything out. And sure. I don't know, Notion Thief, especially just how powerful that can be, you know, against fucking control decks that draw cards. Like, I think that one will actually see some
totally.
Serious play.
Now I know everyone's like, what about Voice Resurgence? Well, we're avoiding a one because it's obvious. I mean, that one, obviously a lot of people are going to try to bring with it.
Accident.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the card that I'm surprised we didn't say is Unflinching Courage, which is an enchantment. And that thing is insane. It gives you 2+2 lifelink and trample for 3 mana. That's like a super rancor, man. Although it doesn't go back to your hand, so.
Well, it also, like, and on those lines, I was noticing, I didn't pay attention to this before, but that Ready and Willing fuse card, the Willing side of it, fucking black, white, and one instant, creatures you control get Death Touch and Link.
Yeah, that, you're right, I forgot about that.
Because what is it, like, with fucking, I mean, course, you get every turn, but, like, Vault of the Archangel, you gotta pay, what, 4, I think it is? Is it 4 or 5 with Vault of the Archangel to do that?
Yeah, it's four.
So it's 5 total.
Yeah, 5 total. You have to tap 5 to get that. I mean, of course, it is recurable. You can do it every fucking turn if you've got the fucking mana. But and of course, it's in black and white. But to have it at fucking like instant speed, for 3 mana on a card, I think that's kind of tough too. I don't know that that's gonna fucking define the format or anything. But I think that's a card that like I overlooked at first. And then,
although you know what card we're all gonna just hate is Sin Collector. That card is gonna, like, if you're playing spells, that card is just gonna be like, gotcha. Yeah. I think Sin Collector is gonna be in every Esper deck. It's gonna be in every black white deck.
Are you talking about the common? That's a
2/1. The uncommon. It's an uncommon human cleric. Yeah. Enters the battlefield, strips a sorcery or instance of the opponent's hand.
Oh, that one. Okay, I was thinking for a second there the 2/1 life linker.
No.
Okay.
Know. No, that one, Sam Black was talking about him. Shaven was talking about him.
Isn't that the one that Robot was talking about last cast?
Yep, that was his one too. I think that one's going to be just, I'm going to get
sick. I'm with Kevy though, you know, as far as the second card, that the Notion Thief is going to be pretty freaking amazing. Just being able to go, oh, I don't quite like that Sphinx Rev, but I like the cards.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I had to pick any card that I think's like a joke, you know, the hitter myth that Channel Fireball used to do, I think Council of the Absolute is going to be like minimally impactful. I think it might be a 1 or 2 of in a sideboard, and if it's only for Sphinx's Revelation Mirror, like I don't see that card being played.
Oh yeah.
For any other reason.
Talking about it first, but yeah, I know which one it is now. Right? Yeah, and that's the only reason it'll be there.
Like that one, it sounds really hypeful, but bleh. I don't know.
And Council
the Absolute. It's the card that basically lets you, it's like a melding mage for your opponent, but you get to cast the card and it's two less to cast. So it's kind of, but
what do you guys think? I was actually talking about this the other night. What do you guys think of Riot Control? The white and two instant, gain one life for each creature your opponents control, prevent all damage that would be dealt to you this turn. You think that's a fucking playable card other than fucking limited? Or
common, I know that Travis Wu has been trying to do the Turbo Fog deck. It'll fit in
right
there.
Right.
So, I mean, it has a deck to be played in. I just don't know how good it's going to be.
I don't... Like, you look at that deck, okay, so if I'm playing Red Right Humans, first of all, Red Right Humans isn't powerful enough, and I've been trying to brew, trust me, people. It's just not powerful enough to compete with any deck right now. It gets slaughtered. It's tier 3 right at the most. Is that card going to help you? Nope.
Nah.
Like, I don't see that card doing anything. What I'd rather play is Dynacharge. Like, I want to, and overload it. Like, the point is, with the amount of life gain going on, either you need to have a combo to trick someone. I don't know. Like, if you're playing the aggro decks, Naya, or...
Like, I see that, like, Riot Control being, like, if they fucking swing big, like, especially if they're playing a fucking token strategy or something, like, if they swing big and you're like, nope, I'm not taking any of that, and I'm fucking gaining life for all of it, like, I mean, that's a combat trick, but it's a very corner case combat trick.
The worst thing is I could see that being used against the aggro to just, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do?
Well, like, it's a tempo card, because, like, an aggro deck is going to fucking get their momentum going and go apeshit. And if you time that right on fucking turn 4,
worst.
Yeah, it's like, when I'm an aggro deck and I'm fucking going to kill you on turn 4, and I've got the army rolling, and it's just like, oh, goddamn. And it sets them back just enough for you to be able to stabilize. I should say it sets me back enough for you to stabilize, because I ain't going to play the fucking
game. Well, you know, the worst thing about that card, now that I think about it, imagine if you had a blue-white control deck, and it's the turn before you Supreme Verdict as your backup. So it's like, okay, you're attacking me for like 10. All right, I'll gain 10 and fog your ass, and then I'll sweep the board.
Predict the next turn. Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't gain 10 because you don't gain it compared to the power. You just gain it for every creature, right?
Yeah. My bad.
But I mean, you'd still gain. You know,
gain like 3
life out of it. You shut it off and then you blow them up. You know. Another funny little interaction I was thinking, like, just now, like, when I looked, like, next to it, is fucking that trait doctoring card, and it makes me think of your Faith Shield little combat trick that you taught me.
Yeah, Faith Shield.
To save your guy. Like, it fucking protection from this, and it's just all, one blue, trait doctoring, change the text of target permanent. Oh, wait, no, that's not a permanent, though, huh? So that wouldn't matter anyway.
Changes of target per. Yeah, I mean, only if you already had protection.
I was thinking that it would let me, like, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to save my guy, Faith Shield, from whatever I was hitting it with.
No.
I'd be like, oh, I'm going to change the text to your fucking Faith Shield to.
You know what card that's got me really thinking is Hidden Strings and Ralzeric in the same deck. Like, can you think about, like, and now all you'd need is maybe, like, okay, so imagine Goblin Electromancer. And Hidden Strings. So he's making your sorceries cheaper. And it basically, like, you attack on turn 3 with your guy, Hidden Strings him. Now you get to untap your land twice, because it goes on once, then the goblin hits with Cypher. Man, I don't know. I think
you have one minor problem with that.
What?
Mana
there's
leaves. Well, no, not even that. The mana leaves at the end of the phase, which means that you would only be able to use that mana for the tap and untap during the damage step.
Really?
So in other words, it'd have to be an instant. Yeah, you don't get to carry the mana into the main phase.
No, but it's you made. So I would be able to untap one land, then it says do it again. So I'd be untap both lands, right?
Yeah, no, or you'd be able, okay. Like, just for simplicity's sake.
And then, I get it. Yeah.
So, in other words, have to actually know that way.
But I'm also trying to untangle a slinky as we speak, so I've lost my
first
focus.
You would have to cast.
I thought it was a light switch.
you'd have to cast the spell before the damage step, okay?
Which then
you could tap and untap, which gives you 2 mana.
Yes.
Then you'd have to use that 2 mana right then and there before you move to the damage step to be able to tap and untap again.
Yeah, to get it for the cipher. You're right, you're right. Well, I don't know. It sounds like it's blue ramp to me, which is insane. Like, I don't know. That card is interesting. I'm curious
to
try it.
The only decks that I see that card being useful for is either High Tide.
Yeah,
or, like the blue popper Temporal Storm deck, which actually I'm really amazed Temporal Storm didn't get a ban this time around because so many people were bitching about it.
I think they're letting popper just be right now. When was the last time they banned anything in popper?
The last ban cycle.
Oh, what did they ban?
Grape Shot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's where they got rid. Yeah, I forgot. That's where they completely tourniqueted Storm. Yeah. I mean, interesting stuff. Who knows? We'll see. I'm really excited to play some shit, and we'll see what happens. T-Moles, man. That's what we're thinking. I mean, we'll have some more ideas when we actually start to play with some fucking.
Play with the cards.
Tell you what, since we have some judges that listen, I have some questions.
Oh no.
What happens if someone casts a Sphinx's Rev? And both players have a Notion Thief out.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck does happen? Does no one draw cards?
Would that be a...
Infinite Loop?
Well, no. Wouldn't that be a situation of kind of like the whole... the second guy to play it would...
Oh, priority?
Right, like you'd play your it'd be the first guy that played it, right? No, fuck. No. I don't play cards like this. I just fucking swing. No, like, but is there any reason that like it would create a loop? Like,
yeah, I think if you listen to the way it reads, it says if an opponent would draw a card except for the first one he or she draws in their draw step, then that player skips that draw and you draw a card.
So I would get all the cards.
So let's say that I do a Sphinx Rev, right?
Yep.
For even one card. Let's just keep it simple. It's for one card. Right. Then I've already drawn for the turn, or number two. It's not in the draw step. So
Maddie plays Notion Thief and fucking steals your card draw.
Which then means that because your Notion Thief would make you draw outside of your draw step. Does that not mean that
I would get my Notion Thief?
No, you don't get the card. Because my Notion Thief says that you can't draw that card. I draw it instead. And then your Notion Thief says that you draw instead.
So which one triggers with infinitely loop? No,
it wouldn't. Because the stack would collapse backwards. So last trigger would go first.
God, I hate when
so you draw the card, right?
No, you don't, but you never actually reach the draw because it says if you would draw.
All right, well, we're all fucking idiots, folks, so...
judge!
Somebody figure that one out. If that ever happens, that's like 3-0 rings. I think Magic just blows
up. That's exactly what I'm thinking it is. I think it's exactly that.
The V4 client just crashes.
Dude, God, resizing crashes the V4 client. This will fucking crash the entire server.
Yeah, this will just wreck the internet.
I wonder if
Google
like,
will crash if two of these get played in the same game.
Oh, I have another question I can't figure out now.
You know what I just thought of would be hilarious? Imagine if we put shock collars on the Wizards of the Coast dev team, and every time a client crashed, it shocked them. could you see them all in their little office?
Shocked the devs. You have it shocked the
managers, the lawyers, the wizards.
The lawyers. Yes, them.
Yes, that's the lawyers.
I was like, what the fuck are the guys with the suits fucking tamales?
Why the fuck are they out? Oh, man. So we're going to move on to shoutouts because the show is getting on and those things. And I got some good shoutouts this week because good old Joe Nidri, he's got at Sketchbook Comics and Game. He wanted me to shout this out because it sounds pretty cool. He's got his player series going on, first major event for him. So if you're if you're in the Niagara Falls area, check it out. Sketchbookcomics.ca, check that out. He's got a cool thing. He's got a registration. There's formats in here. First place is $500, man. for the prize structure. Second place, 250. Format is standard. Entry fee is $30. Sounds pretty cool. So, yeah, that sounds pretty awesome.
He's cool.
Yeah, June 8th. So check it out, people. If you're in the area, that sounds pretty neat to me. I got to shout out Michael Marsala because.
Ooh, I was gonna shout him out,
dude. He is fucking funny, man.
Love that fucking kid.
He's the guy that did the Walmart name tag, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So I worked in retail at Toys R Us, so I have a special place in my heart for the horrible vests and the name tags that they give you in retail. But he put Shakao on his fucking name tag. I'm like, brilliant, man. That's just fucking brilliant. So shout out to you, man. That was awesome. I was laughing my ass off. And I got to shout out Scotty Diesel, because he's fucking hilarious and he deserves a fucking shout out, man. We were joking about the good old our dads watching freaking fishing shows when we were kids, and I'd be sitting there at like 5 or 6. I'd be sitting there with a tackle box and freaking sitting. I'm sorting them and I'm trying to unthread them and stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm a 5-year-old. I've got razor sharp fish hooks in them. Like, what am I doing? Good old days. I'm like, Dad, can we watch something besides Bass Pro Fishing? Nope. We're watching this episode.
Listen, boy, you're going to need to fucking know all of this stuff at some point in your life.
But then the best thing is my dad bought me this giant fishing rod in my backyard. I live in like the, you know, Toronto suburbs. There's no fucking water anywhere. And I would sit there with this fishing rod and I put live fishing hooks on it and I'd try to like catch squirrels in the trees. and I'd whip the fishing rod up into the trees and I'd try and catch squirrels. So a couple times I got close, but I never got one. Sorry, Travis.
but
that's what you do, man. That's you bored kids in the suburb, man. That's what we did.
Got shit.
Oh, I remembered my other question.
Oh, hey, go. What is it?
Goblin test pilot.
Oh, that's a piece of shit, man.
What does a poor judge do when someone activates a goblin test pilot and someone has gone off with like twin?
Well, what happens? I mean, it would take priority. And then,
well, no, I know it happens, but then the poor judge, like, you have to do it to a random target creature or player.
So, it's just fucked up.
You're in an EDH game.
I guess you just flip a coin. I don't know, like that. That's just crazy. That card is hilarious. I saw it on the Magic show, and you know, I love Evan. By the way, Evan's new logo. I'm like, dude. I'm sorry, man. That new logo, I love you. I love your stuff, but that logo's weak, man. Sorry.
Okay,
I'm not
sorry.
A fan.
I didn't mean to interrupt your... Oh, fuck that. Yes, I did.
Yeah, we haven't had enough interruptions tonight. There hasn't been enough fucking craziness go on yet.
I know. What's going on here, man?
Yeah, we're to shout out to nothing.
Hey. You're not supposed to be yawning yet. What the hell?
Oh, I'm not yawning.
Not you.
I'm just not...
I caught it.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No, that was just that was the air going.
Yeah, he's opening his mouth to suck on a dick.
Lies.
Lies. Lies.
Yeah, that's like off, off. Listen, you fuckers.
Robot's cock is still here. Like,
yeah, it hasn't left. I swear to God, I was trying to, I was cleaning up before the show, and I'm like, when are you going home? And it just looked at me with its one eye. I'm like, oh, God damn it. Get the fuck out of here.
Growled a little bit. Made a little robot noise.
Made a little dent in the fucking floor.
The floor of the cave is cracked now. Thanks to
is.
Robot pack.
His cock has cracked the cave floor. Say that 3 times fast. There you go.
Yeah, it's cock.
Shit. Guys, look.
What?
It released. We have to go catch him again.
He's out again? Oh, fuck. Yeah, Durf got out again. He's
I think
out
he
there,
just so. Kind of. I think he now just comes and goes as he pleases. Like, he can get out whenever he wants to, but he loves us, and so he just hangs out in the cage to keep us fucking happy.
Oh, man.
That, you know, Kevy keeps taking and spiking with the vodka.
Yeah.
It's the only way to drink that stuff.
Vodka syrup.
So, Kevy, you got any shout-outs, man?
I don't know. I'm not sitting in front of my computer, so... And I'm... So, it's hard for me. Let me think. I'm gonna give a shout-out to... Let's see. My fiance. Because
yeah.
She's awesome. Give a shout-out to fucking Sup Stevie, because I fucking love that guy. And he's fucking hilarious. And let's see. Scotty Mac. Haven't shouted that dude out in a while. I fucking love Scotty. He's a good man.
It's his birthday, too, by the time this goes live. So.
Oh, shit. Happy birthday, Scotty.
Happy birthday, Scotty. We'll see what's going down.
Yeah. Fucking love that dude. Fucking, we were playing. Lo and behold, this happened. You know, like I said, we were playing the other night. I was getting my tickets fucking together for Marcel, and Scotty hits me up. He's all, "What's up, bitch?" Like, "Hey, what did I do?" And he's like, "Nothing. I'm just talking shit." He's like, "Well, he's like, so you got a few minutes?" He's like, "You gonna jump on and fucking play a game before I stream?" And I was like, "Yeah, right on. We'll fucking play." So we jump on with my burn deck, and we jump on and we start fucking playing. It goes to game three, but at one point he had to be like, "Oh, come on, hurry up, bro! Holding up the fucking holding up the stream for this."
Why is this starting late?
Dude, sorry. I'm hurrying because he just wanted to.
Kevy
jump
delaying on. Shit yet again.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, with my fucking burn deck that's supposed to just be fast and kill you, but yeah, I was like trying to go, like, come up with fucking, I'm like, will this work? Will this work? I don't know. He's like, come on, dude. I gotta get on my stream. They're waiting on me. Fuck, sorry, man.
Oh, man.
Love Scotty. I love him to death, so fucking huge shout out to that guy. And other than that, I'm going to give a shout out to you two.
Yeah.
KYT, because, I mean, you know, that motherfucker still hasn't showed up on a cast yet, but eventually.
We will get Batman on here.
And he's, you know, our boss, so I got to give him love so that I don't get fired. And so Ferret doesn't get to do it. Big
damn it!
Shout out to Robot Large.
Yeah, because he was one of our most popular guests ever. So.
Yeah, dude, people love from Robot. And you know what, like, and a huge shout out for Robot too, like, you know, on a serious level, like, just, you know, you guys heard it last episode, just like what that guy does for this fucking community.
Oh, he's
and
sick, dude.
The oh fact yeah
that's it, just for because he loves fucking the game and he loves people fucking playing it, just it blows me away because I don't even like you motherfuckers that much.
Oh, well, here, I gotta give an update too. So if for the people that were asking about the so what I was trying to do last week, we were trying to get Bump in the Night, the original art for Spruik there.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
well, everyone's like, what's going on? And I'm like, well, apparently artists don't check their email. So I've got like 8 emails out to Kev there, and he's not replying to any of them. So I had Trick and I had Helen at MTG or Wizards of the Coast there, but they don't really want to give out the artist details or help us out. So that's kind of disappointing. So here's my solution. If I don't hear back in the next couple of weeks, I am going to commission Polish Tamales or Durf, or fuck, I might just commission both of them. And we'll pay them. Guys, this is not no freebie shit. We'll find a way. The community will put together a little pop for you guys. And I want you guys to do an awesome Bump in the Night DJing. Like, take the Bump in the Night guy, the scary looking one, I think, but put a set of turntables in front of them and do a wicked piece of art for him. I think, and then we'll get it printed out and we'll frame it for him.
You know what?
No, what we need to do is we need to do that whole fucking, like, we'll get the art done and we'll give him the art, you know, like digitally so he can do what he wants to with it. But then we'll go down to Walmart and get one of those fucking rugs printed.
Kevy, fuck.
That's awesome. Kevy,
shut the fuck up. All right, no, what I was going to say, remember how I said I have one piece of the foil paper left?
Ooh,
I will donate that to this cause.
Ooh, that, now that's cool. That would be awesome. Like, actually, you know, Proxy Guy would totally do a super hard version of that, too.
Yeah, but dude, make him a fucking foil place.
I'm not talking
a card.
I'm talking literally make an 8x11.
Oh,
that's
so that
art.
He could frame this fucker.
Yeah, well, we'll see. First, we need the art,
that'd be
so
cool.
I will. I'm gonna try first. I think I still. I haven't exhausted all my resources. But shout out to Vorthos Mike again. Thanks for hooking me up, getting me some info on the artist there. If anyone knows, this is a shout out to the whole community. I mean, if anyone knows how to get a hold of, I think it's Kev Walker, right? The artist who did Bumpin' the Night. If anyone knows how to get a hold of him, or if there's a gallery that sells his artwork, or if there's any way, I mean. Please DM me on Twitter or just tweet it. Let me know. Here's just a side note, though, for any magic artists. It's very hard to get a hold of you fucking guys. And there's a lot of people who want to pay you for your work. Like, if you need design services or consultation services, I will be gladly offered to you for free to just say, hey, here's a few tips. like having an email that you pick up
Maddie,
yeah,
I will give mad shout outs to Steve Argyle though.
Well, he's awesome.
He does make himself very accessible to the community.
No, Steve is wicked. Yeah. Actually, I wonder if Steve knows Kev. Maybe I'll
RK Post is also one of those that makes himself very available to the community too.
That is very true. He's sick, eh? When he shows
Dude, that guy blows me away. RK Post fucking blows me away that like the awesome fucking wiener art that he does cracks me up. But then like the next picture that he posts is just some fucking a sketch that he did on a blank fucking token card or a fucking, you know, just his style is fucking amazing and he's such a fucking good artist. And then he's just all, you know what? I'm going to put this to good use. I'm going to draw the coolest dicks ever on cards.
All I know about, if you follow RK Post on Twitter, you'll see him like he's just sitting on a toilet with a board in front of him and he's drawing the most insane piece of shit you've ever seen.
And then
he's like just sitting in front of his TV, like, yeah, I'm just fucking around. And literally, you look at it like I would pay like $100, $200. Like I want that frame, you know. I would worship that for the rest of my life.
He's just all, hey, I'm just doing shit. Like I'm pooping and drawing. Yeah. At the same time.
He's like, you know, I'm sitting at the table drawing on the back of a cardboard box because I'm bored. And it's just like, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it looks like half the time he doesn't even sketch. It looks like he just starts drawing like straight with a black marker. Like that guy's awesome. So. Shout out to RK Post. And last shout out to Ella, my daughter, because it's her communion on Sunday. Yeah.
Right on.
I'll jump on that one. Shout out to the kiddo.
Yeah.
My shout outs.
Yes.
Revised Angel, we will have you on. Don't worry about it, Heather.
Yes.
If you can, try to finagle getting Sprinkle with you. We'll have both you girls on here, and then you tell us boys, you know.
Oh, yeah. Boys versus what. Girls. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Sexism. Let's go.
Sexism. Let's go.
Who else shout out to? Let's look real quick.
Shout out to MTG Proxy Brains. Guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. First, I got to shout out Proxy Guy because he's fucking. Oh,
okay,
and.
Now...
And sorry, because I'm just interrupting your shit because you're actually making me think of stuff now.
Damn it.
So the Heavy Meta t-shirt contest. Okay. So I know I said I would shout everybody out. We're going to save that to another episode because it would take a while. But next episode, I will shout out everybody and a couple special shout outs. And I know I said one lucky listener will get to listen live next week. So.
Ooh,
actually, yeah. So really awesome, especially if you get the girls on. Yeah, well, who knows who will be on? Maybe it'll be MTG Brainstorm and Marcel because they got scared. Maybe it'll be won't be so scared this week.
They got afraid.
So what we'll do is on Twitter midweek, I will pick a winner. I'll consult with the fellow cave mates here, and we'll hit you up and say, "Hey, man, Wednesday 9 p.m. EST. If you're around and you're on Skype, we'll let you listen in. Maybe even we'll let you jump in at the end." But the contest was successful with the t-shirts, so just wanted to shout out everyone again. Didn't forget about you.
Ooh, I forgot one, too.
Hey, Maddie.
Yes.
If you actually get hoodies, I'll try to get one.
Well, hoodies. That would be – the only problem is – okay, I can do hoodies. They're just shitty. And
really?
I don't want – yeah, they're not even zip-up, and they're like, eh.
So am I just better off getting and making my own, like, transfer and doing this the vinyl spray and shit?
Well, there's the vinyl
dye spray I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. You can do that, and you can just put it on a piece of cellophane and cut it out and make like a dye. Yeah, I mean, you could do that. I'm hoping that. Do you remember the old '80s iron-on?
Mm. Yeah, you know,
I have a Motley Crue shirt that says "fucking heavy metal party animal" and it's got Motley Crue on the fucking front of it with those 80s iron-on fucking things. I still have that shirt.
Oh,
it's
that's
awesome.
The
shit that sucks about it, though, is those things, like, it's probably like a fucking 8-inch by 10-inch fucking square on the fucking chest, and I hate wearing that shirt as cool as it is because that, within 5 minutes, is a
sweats.
Huge sweat patch on my fucking chest because it's, like, nothing gets through that. It's so fucking hot. It's ridiculous.
It's waterproof.
It's like wearing a fucking patch of cellophane on your chest.
Okay, no, I wasn't even talking about doing, like, the cellophane thing. There's actual spray paint that you can get nowadays, which is just, like, for dye. It's pretty much, like, spray dye.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But you still have to stencil it out.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, you still got to stencil it. But
yeah,
it's still a lot better.
Yeah. Oh, for
so,
sure.
So as a little teaser, me and Kevy have come up with a five new designs. And what we're going to do for new shirts is in a week or two, maybe – maybe a little more. First, I want to see how these heavy minute shirts come. So, oh, here's a special thing. For the first person, because they're shipped, so they have shipped, mine says that I should get mine by about May 2nd, so maybe someone in the States might get theirs earlier. If you do, the first person to tweet a picture of themselves wearing the Heavy Met SUV shirt gets something crazy.
There you go. Oh, there you guys go.
I don't know. I don't know what you got. Shower.
Yeah, like you
get to shower with one of the members.
You said a shout out, you fucking weirdo. I'm not showering with
you. Oh, yeah, we're not drunk. Oh.
I swear I heard you say shower. I'm like, we can make it like
Yeah, you get a shower, you stinky fuck.
Well, you know, like, we could show up with a bucket of water and just walk into their F&M like, hey, shower, yeah, bitch.
Hose them down.
Shakow, motherfucker.
Mine says I'm supposed to get mine on May 5th.
You'll get a shower and a bar of soap.
Yeah. So anyway, so the first person that does that, let's see if you remember. I haven't met a. I'm very curious. I know Mildy Vane. He won't get his till like next year because he lives in Australia or somewhere in New Zealand.
Okay, isn't Mildy Vane supposed to be like mildly vain? I thought, or
no, it's fucking.
I know he was talking on Twitter the other day
his name
about
is
like what the fuck they keep calling me Mildy Vane.
No, his name is Mildy Vane, but fucking when like we first brought him, like when we got him fucking dirt,
we called him Mildy.
Maddie kept calling. He's just called him mildly Vane, and I was like, I think it's Mildy Vane. And Maddie's drunk ass was just all, what, a Mildy Vane? I think you got a problem. You should get that checked out. So it was like either mildly Vane or Mildy Vane, but his name's actually Mildy Vane.
All right. Anyway,
I don't claim to understand the Heavy Met SVU any more than you guys. So.
Right.
That's
your fucking shout out kind of thing. Fucking, have you guys heard of the fucking Run for Your Lives marathon?
No. Oh, is that where the zombies chase you?
Zombie marathon? Yeah. Me and a couple friends are doing that in fucking September, which I'm going to be so out of shape. But they have them, like, all over the place. I don't know if they have them for you fucking Canadian folk.
They do. Oh,
do
yeah.
They have one up there?
Yeah, they have zombie polar bears. It's very scary. Fucking horrible.
I don't see anything listed on it I don't see anything up there, but that's not to say that they don't. It just, maybe this is just the fucking the American site. But basically, what it is it's like a fucking, it's a 5K marathon with like obstacle courses. It's not just running 5K, but you're running 5K through an obstacle course and full like makeup zombies chasing you. And you have flags on your fucking like, so basically when the zombie catches you, they grab your flag and then fucking
you're dead.
They paint you up and you're a zombie and you gotta start chasing.
Yep. Then they paint you up and you get involved in the zombie side of it. And then they have this huge, ridiculous fucking apocalypse party afterward. If you get a chance, like, go check out runforyourlives.com. It's just this marathon thing they do. Like every year, and well, I mean, not that they do every year, they do it like all the time, and they just have them in different places all the time. The one in Southern California here that we're doing is in like September.
I'll
go jog around my block once to get in shape for it and be like, fuck it. I'll just resign to the fact that I'm going to get eaten fast and then I'll be a zombie and then I'll get hammered at the fucking after party. But it's seriously, like, they've got videos and stuff of previous ones they've done, like, on the site, and it's the coolest shit ever.
Like, oh, dude.
Other Daniel, you know, fucking the guy I play Magic with all the time, like, turned me onto it, and he's just all, we're going down, we're doing this. Fucking in September, we're going to do it. You're going. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going. Like, I watched the little video on the website. Oh, this is the coolest shit ever. Running through a fucking obstacle course with zombies chasing you is going to be fucking amazing. So,
And, hey, I got
fuckers to get involved in that shit. Go find close to your fucking area and go do it.
I have a shout out for Stefan Raphael. He drew. Did you see that? He has that really crazy art style.
The fucking robot.
The
fucking
robot.
As he did.
That's.
I have not seen that. You're gonna have to link me.
All sensual and shit with the like. He's all it needs is a bearskin rug. Yeah. Fucking great.
I only saw the sketch. I didn't see the final one, but that was awesome. I thought that was hilarious. Right. Oh,
I have three shout outs that you guys haven't forgotten that you cut me off from. T Tangent.
Oh, sorry.
Because Tangent's fucking awesome.
I love Tangent.
Then The Ruckus and Care Bear Christmas Parties.
Care Bear Christmas Parties? Who the fuck is that?
is that just one to throw me off so I don't repeat what you're saying? Tangent.
No,
yeah,
actually, The Care Bear Christmas Parties comes from a series of tweets that go back and forth talking about the whole pre-release thing. So, you guys will have to check if you want to check the background on that.
All I know is I'm referring to Dragon Maze as Ral Zarek and the Goblet of Fire, because that really is what the whole Dragon Maze is. That's just me. But hey, me and Ferret were talking to a brand new guy that got on MTGO, Freddie Lee. Shout out to you, my friend. Got to encourage new guys.
Hell yeah.
Actually, you know what? I just now remembered another shout out.
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
Come on. No, we actually owe these guys a shout out. Both Worth and Ryan Spain. For as much shit as we give those guys, they do quite a bit of work.
No, a huge shout out to huge shout out to the whole team, man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, as much as this is our job. This is our job to get hammered drunk and bitch about the problems that we find in the game of Magic.
But appreciate what they do.
Well, yeah, for sure. Because we wouldn't be playing this fucking game. Like, if they were terrible at their fucking jobs, like, we wouldn't be playing this game. We wouldn't.
And
be
if
fucking,
we didn't care,
we wouldn't be dedicating our fucking time to sit here and bitch about it if we didn't fucking care about it, if it wasn't a fucking good product. Of course, there are things that are wrong with it, and we tend to fucking beat those things into the ground. But all in all, the whole fucking Wizards team has done a good job with this fucking game and keeping it growing and fucking keeping us obviously interested in it, because they're like, oh, hey, we made some cards, we put them up on the internet, and everybody in the Magic community goes ape shit and starts speculating and starts fucking piling their money together to pre-order the motherfuckers before they came out. So we probably wouldn't do that if this wasn't a pretty well-built game. So got to give them love for that.
Damn right. All right, Kevy, send us out, my friend.
Hey, I want you guys all to understand that I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Go fuck yourself, San Diego!
That was good. And a last post shout out to good old Will What's Blocking, because he loves Deltron Z 3030. Yeah, positive contract. Anyways.
I don't even know what fucking said, no. Little kid, but you touch it from my heart.
Hey, man, Deltron. Good old Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Awesome album. Anyways.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Crazy hip hop shout out to my bro. What? I don't know. Marcel and Tyrone rub off on me. So.
they get you into that hip hop.
Nina just tweeted, I could write clearly about cheating, but then I'd start naming names and get myself suspended. So unless I'm quitting, I can't. So is that, like, can we not name names of when someone literally cheats you? I mean, in written form?
I'm going to end the show on this, Ferret. This is a jerk-free zone. And that would be a jerk thing to do, so we don't do that here.
Yeah, calling people for being douchebags is a jerk thing to do.
Hey, man, you cheated on me, but, you know, calling me out and ruining my rap on Twitter is a jerk thing to do, so. Jerk free zone,
no,
man.
I understand. I didn't know. Like I said, I don't pay paper enough, so.
You're a ferret. We don't expect you to know where the jerk free zones are.
We don't expect you to understand. Oh, he's just a little guy. He doesn't understand. So
help me.
He drank too much again. Now he's like, all right, man, guys, this is a good one.